I was just telling these folks out here, we are having a true movie review extravaganza. Yeah, people, we're going to be here for a while tonight. Martin, what you doing? I thought Martin was ejaculating over there.
Super Saiyan.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. Do it again.
First the blood vessel.
Oh, exactly. I know. Head just blow up. And head just be spinning.
Scanners.
But people, it is going to be a true extravaganza tonight. We have several movies. I don't even know what we're doing tonight. We got a lot of them, I know. Some of them I haven't even seen that these guys are going to do over here. If we get to them, I know that sometimes we run late and these guys got to get on out of here and they get tired. But we're going to try to cover as many movies as we can. We have for you Jack Reacher. We got Keeping Up with the Joneses, movie I saw, Moonlight. And we also have Desierto, that Mexican film.
Did you know?
Oh, that's right. You got to do Brave New Jersey.
Yes, and there's another screening for Moonlight next week.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, I was going to go see it next Thursday.
Well, shit. I just prepared for
you carry it over next week. Here you go.
Yeah, All right, then. Hey, you know what? Then tonight, easy night then. You know, I'm glad to hear that. I thought that it was coming out this Friday, but I guess
it's weird because it's being released a lot of places this Friday, but Austin, it's not till next Friday.
Okay.
And it's a screening next Thursday?
I can wait.
Unless you want to just jump into it.
No, I want y'all to see this.
Okay.
Every black American needs to see this movie.
Okay. All right.
Every gay black American needs to see this movie. Even the ones that are bi need to see this movie. I'm not looking at you, man.
Yeah, why you see that? Right there. I'm
looking at that bi dude behind it. Yeah, bi. But no, man. All right. Well, you know what? I'm sorry I gave y'all an empty promise right there. We'll get to that next week because I really do want to get your guys' opinion on that. So it's not going to be that hard tonight. But let me see what we got here. Oh, people. Again, we got some folks in from out of town. They have returned. We got Italy and Las Vegas up in the house. The return of Nico and Kiki and Matt. Matt from Australia. How you doing, Matt? Got you back in here again. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. And damn, Matt, my dog real likes you, man. What'd you do to him? Where did you touch him, man? Making himself right at home on you, too. Yes.
Sure is.
You my bitch. You gonna lay an egg on you or something, man. But my dog really likes Matt for some reason. Just sat right down on his dick, too. But, oh, speaking of dicks, hey, Denise, how you doing?
I got news.
Oh, what news you got? Okay. Oh, shit.
Did we lose the spot?
Can you tell me from a distance? What happened with the party?
Well, you know that stage?
Make it quick. That stage, what about in the back? We'll talk about it later.
See, okay.
All right. Never mind. Hold on. We'll talk about it later. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Denise. Thank you.
Shit. We gotta get there before 10.
I'm going to fucking kill this girl. I'm going to kill this girl.
You gave her the code.
And yet she lives.
And yet she walks the earth. But anyway, people. I'll be giving you more information about the party in a little bit and a little bit more. But until then, let's go ahead and say hello to the backbone of this community, the people that we like to call the real show within the show. That would be the Chat-a-Tat-Tat. How y'all doing right there? They laughing at Mojo right now. Fuck Trump. And that's funny. Like, you know, I like when Trump has these debates. Cause y'all don't fuck me. Y'all just go straight to him. But... People, let me see here. Now, as you have just heard, we don't have as many movies to review tonight. One of the movies I thought we were going to talk about tonight has been moved to next week. You guys need to see that. So that means that we have a little bit of an open slot for y'all tonight, which means you should go ahead and send us some emails, some phone calls, because I plan for a long-ass show, you know. I mean, I don't know what to do with that empty space right there. I need somebody to move in there. You can do so by... pulling out a keyboard and emailing me at K. Now I'm just stretching that shit out for dramatic purposes and effects.
Wow.
This shit ain't really not working, man. This shit is stopping. This shit is looking like me, like, yeah, okay. This shit does not want to work. Let me see right here. I guess I have to do this manually. There we go. KCoolmans at gmail.com. That's KCoolmanz at gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you want to be a part of the show tonight, pull out that email, put your phone number in there, put your Skype contact in there, press in, bam, we up in your home. Mark, what the hell you doing? What the hell is that?
Drinking his vodka.
He's drinking like he's been out in the desert and shit.
Like Emily Blunt, girl on the train.
Yeah, he was something. Got himself a big ass sippy cup right there. He's drinking that shit with both hands too, looking at me. Hey, if you want to come down here and share some water with Martin, just email me at kcoolmans. And, you know, let me know if you want to come see the show. Email us right there. I will come to you, the only host in the world, the only critic in the world that does house calls. I'm on that Twitter, aka Coolman. On Facebook, type in Double Toasted. If you'd like to see me personally for some private critiquing, just type in Corey Coleman. I'll pop right up. Unless I am busy like I have been known to be, and I will have to send you to my associate, Mr. Martin Thomas.
And if he does, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin _no pro, or just look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And Facebook has a lot of people, like, I don't know.
I'm there, Corey Goodwin on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter or twitch.tv.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
The high score DT, all yes. One word, Corey
yes.
Coleman.
Yes. Oh, it's back to me. Hey, folks, as I told you, we got people from all around the world who come over here to see these shows. We have the whole world in this room, and can you believe it? We still have room for you. So if you're from Caxtocklefuck or wherever, and you want to come down here and see the show, then please, please email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. You are visiting Austin. I keep hearing people, they get here and they say, you know what, I want to move here. I want to live here. Some of y'all have done it and you didn't even tell me. Shame on you. I do not like when people are up in my house and they don't tell me that. So please, email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com with some details. I'll give you some details. We'll talk to each other, and in that way, I can accommodate you. And speaking of accommodating you, let me tell you about a few things happening in the world of Double Toasted. For one, now you know that we're a festive bunch over here. We look for any excuse to go out and party. And whenever a holiday comes up, especially like Halloween, Martin, I think that's your favorite holiday, isn't it?
It is.
Why, Martin? Because you get to dress stupid and get drunk like everybody else.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Y'all do the same thing, too, so why don't we just all do that together? You know, some of y'all been talking about, when's the next DT event coming up? Well, here you are, October 29th. That's a Saturday evening. And we're going to be kicking off things. Doors open at 6 p.m. over at the Scratch House. The Scratch House is located right next door to Crazy 6th Street. It's so crazy over there. You don't want to deal with that. Come on over a street over. 617 East 7th Street to the Scratch House. And we're going to be doing our live interactive show. We're going to have a costume contest where we're giving away cash prizes. And once we're done with ourselves, it's not finished. No, we're going all night. We are having five bands at this venue. Some DJs, some rappers up in it. Austin's own Dirty Worms are going to be playing that evening. And it sounds like we're going to have not just one space, but two spaces, possibly three. And there's going to be something going on in all those spaces. So the big thing that you need to know is that if you go to our Eventbrite page, just type in Spooktacular Savings Double Toasted, and the Eventbrite page will come up. Click on that, and you can get a ticket for $5. Now, there's two good reasons why I need to do this. Because, one, I need to get a head count of people. And if I just have people sign up on a list, y'all not going to show up. So, but if you pay $5, you know, that's an investment in your time and mine. So y'all will probably be more likely to show up because of that. Also, everywhere else is charging $20 to $30 that night. It's Halloween weekend. It's just like New Year's now. People, you know, they know there's money to be made. Everybody looking for a party. And you probably wander around $18. You say, I ain't got no money. And ain't nobody going to let me in no way. But we are 18 and up. And if you sign up on that Eventbrite page and you pay that $5, that's all it's going to be all night. Even though this place is charging $20 at the door, starting around 9, if you're on our list, you get right in. So please go ahead and sign up for that. Again, that is on the Eventbrite page, Double Toasted Spectacular Savings Halloween Party. Go over there and get your ticket for $5 right now. And we'll see you next week. And let me see what else we got here. I'm going to save you the merch talk right now. I'm not going to
I'm not gonna like hold myself out that much right now.
We'll save that for later.
Like, hold it a little at a time.
Yeah, just a little bit at a time. I've been giving y'all too much of me lately. Been hoeing my ass off to y'all too much. So I'm gonna give you a little bit of a break. But we have more. We have more for you later on. And let me see what else we got right here. I think I'm so used to making so many announcements. I think that is it. Oh no, that is not it. Speaking of shirts and merch and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't have our store up right here. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I know a lot of people have been wanting us to do a pub crawl in Houston. I've been getting emails about that. Y'all had to go and stir up that hornet's nest over there in Houston. You and Sammy.
Oops.
Yeah, y'all went over there, got them all psyched up, got them all a little, gave them a little pre-party, and now they're saying, where the real shit at? True. I know what happened. Y'all went there and they said, this is cool, but where's the great Corey Coleman at?
Surprisingly, nobody said that.
Yeah, you
probably. But it's only the first time I've been somewhere where that didn't happen.
That's because you didn't listen. But then, you know, you got your effort.
Hey, where's Corey? Ah, nah, nah,
nah. But y'all got your appetizer right there. Y'all want the full meal right now. So you know what? Hey, you in there too, man. You know, you the other course. And Corey Goodwin. Give them
thank
a-
you.
Yeah, you're the after-dinner mint.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Your daily double dose of the Corey's is what y'all need. Some vitamin K up in your life. And so what we're going to do is I'm thinking about having the party in November. And at that time, our YouTube partner, BBTV, Broadband TV, they have asked us, because our store is doing so well, thanks to you, to go in and do a limited run of Christmas shirts. Well, it's going to be the ugly sweater theme. You know, everybody likes to do that. And, you know, doing
black people don't.
Well, you know what, Martin? It is time we start. Why are we so close?
If we're
going to
assimilate, why am I, we take on that one too, huh?
Take that one. See, this is why we don't get nowhere. We are so close-minded, man. It's time to embrace the ugly sweater.
A shirt you can only wear once a year. Yeah.
Show these white people that we can do this too. That we care about Christmas too. So we're going to have a limited run.
We showed you guys how to cook with spices, and you gave us ugly sweaters.
You gave us
fair trade, yeah.
Hey, you know what? That's what makes the world so great. We give so much culture to each other. We give you everything. You don't give us shit. No, I'm kidding, Kiki. I'm kidding. She looking at them like nigger. I was one of those goddamn. Sorry, I came in to see that black ass. Fuck that. Talk shit about me. But glad you're doing fine, Kiki. But we are going to do that for the pub crawl. We're going to have a theme if you guys go out and buy some of these shirts.
You know, San Antonio's calling for us too.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Who's there?
Who is there?
I met some people the other day, and they're all like, man, why don't you guys come to San Antonio? It's so close. I'm like, I tried, but everybody shot me down.
I like the way you meant. They want us in San Antonio. Like, two people told you this, and they were together.
They could drive to Houston.
Here's a guy and his girlfriend. She didn't even say anything. Hey, why don't you come to San Antonio?
Mm-hmm. I don't know who y'all are.
My boyfriend likes you. I hate you. But so there are some events for you right there. We'll see how that goes. I'll be posting up more of these things as they become more solid and we figure them out. But the Halloween party, do sign up for that right now. And with that said, y'all doing all right?
Yeah.
Damn, why are you getting offended by that? Yeah. Sounded mad.
I sounded mad. I apologize.
No, it's all right.
He didn't sound mad. He sounded enthusiastic.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why do you always confuse my enthusiasm for anger?
I don't know, man. Ever since that day I saw you on that Ray. That day when we were hanging out at you were yelling
at Camino.
Yeah, man, you put the fear in me.
Cause you never see him get mad.
I don't ever see him get mad. He was looking at Ray. I remember there was Ray said something to him. He said, "Don't you?" He pulled a me. "Don't you ever cuss at me? Don't you, Ray? Don't you?" And he's like somebody's mama, not daddy, but mama. Boy, don't you ever cuss at me? And it was funny. Ray ain't no punk, but Raven was like.
Like, shit, what did I do?
And then I tried to chime in and I said, well, why don't you get? And they both looked at me, shut the fuck up!
Go drink your beer.
Okay. I slung away, yes. Sorry, master, yes. Yes, I shut the fuck up. So, yeah, man. I'm a little intimidated.
Big teddy bear, man. Yeah. No reason to be afraid.
Yeah, we saw that teddy bear did to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, exactly.
So, What's sorry. I didn't want to put you in a bad mood, you know, because I want to talk about. I'm in a good mood today.
You're reaching for something right now.
See, if I had done that shit, he would have been looking at you. See,
no, the reason I said it because I knew it was gonna make you mad. That's the only reason.
I was doing so well. I'm like, you know, but boy, don't you ever make no puns like that again?
What?
No. Damn, you actually did swell up for a moment, like a fucking puffer fish for a moment. He had spikes and everything. All right, let's go ahead and get into our first movie this evening. I'm in a movie reviewing mood. And what you laughing about? What's wrong? What's going on, man?
What are you on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Picking everything we do.
Yeah, you won't go get the show going because you look over and see what expression we have.
I'm just concerned, brother. That's all.
I'm just having a good time, man.
Keep on having a good time.
You ruined it. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're ready to have some fun. Why are you acting like that? Why are you talking like that? Why are you laughing?
Why are you smiling?
What the fuck is so funny, Mark?
Why don't you do your job? Take this shit seriously. Man. Anyway, next on our show.
Some for real shit right here, Martin. Talking about that Jack Reacher, man. This is real shit. And Martin, I knew you loved it. See, the reason why I asked if you were laughing, because I knew that you loved that last Jack Reacher.
I did.
It was pretty much, I don't even know who Jack Reacher is. Don't know what he's about.
No, it inspired me to go read a bunch of the books.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. You did. That's all I knew. I knew it was a big dude, like a 6'5" dude, big muscles, and goes around beating up people. So my question is, why the fuck is Tom Cruise in this then? As the title to Jack Reacher.
Clearly, he liked the books, too, and had the influence to get them made. I mean, you know, when I went on the message boards, that's like the biggest complaint people who are fans of the books had. It's like, man, Jack Reacher's supposed to be 6'6", and this dude's a midget. And it's like, come on, man. He did the role well. Give a break.
Yeah, I heard so many people make them jokes, too. Mine ain't going to like it, but I'll be laughing every time. I said, Jack Reacher, yeah, he reaching for the top shelf, bitch. You know, see, Martin, leave my Jack Reacher alone, man. Leave him alone.
I don't care about that.
You leave Jack alone, man.
I'm just thinking how, yeah, you laugh at that, but if I'd have said it, you would have stopped the show.
Well, yeah, because that's you, man. But
there's special rules for you, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Clearly.
No, you do it, man. I don't like that shit. Everybody else
top
does.
Shelf. That's actually funny.
Yeah, you know, I knew it. I said, this bitch want to laugh so hard, man. I can wait. Please. But look, I liked it too. I didn't love it as much as Martin did, but I liked it. I said, this is surprisingly good action thriller right here. So when I heard that they were doing a second one, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm on board for this because who knows? That might improve on places where I thought it didn't do so well in the first one. And Jack Reacher never go back. Jack Reacher just wandering the land and the homeless. And he'll go someplace every now and then. He's actually like a real superhero. He'll go somewhere and see that somebody's doing something wrong or causing some trouble. He'll beat some ass, bring some justice, and move on to the next place. But then there's this little chick at an army base that he helped out a while back, and he's on his way to see her. And he's even setting everything up. She ain't even met his ass yet, but he on the phone. Yeah, when I come to town, I'm going to buy you some dinner.
I'm going to beat it up. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, we're going to go to – he even tells us, we going, you know I ain't got no money, so we going to a dirty-ass hotel. Really, Jack? I'm going to fuck the shit out of you. Really, Jack?
You going to toss my salad.
You are. Really, Jack?
I'm going to tell you about Lord Xenu. All right. Yeah.
That's how he gets your ass. But then something happens where she's arrested, and Jack is like, man, I was about to fuck that chick. You better not. You better bring her out. You better release her. But you release the beast right here, and they don't listen to him. And next thing you know, he's gone feral on the ass, going around beating up whole army bases. And it turns out that the chick played by Kobe Smulders, she's actually innocent. And it takes only Jack Reacher to come in and prove that she did not do what these people are accusing her of. So it's just not sex. You know, he says I can toss a little favor too here and there. But
he wants that payback and sex.
Yeah, of course he does. Yeah, you get a chick out of jail, you're going to get some.
Yeah.
Are you going to plant some cocaine on the ass?
You know, you want to go back?
You throw it back in there. Yeah. But.
And there went your presidential bid.
And Martin was talking about the Lee Child books. That's the author that wrote these. You know, that's the thing about this, man. Like I said, you know, I didn't know who Jack Reacher was, so it didn't bother me that much when I knew about the character,
right?
Because you know, I didn't know anything about him anyway. To be honest with you, when you see Tom Cruise in these movies, man, you know, like with this, if you don't know anything about the character, you just take that. All right, this guy, he's just scrappy. As in, you know, he's scrapping out. He really is scrap. He's about the same height as that fool right there. He's about 5'7". And you just take like, okay, you know what? This movie is smart enough. It doesn't go into so much ridiculousness that I can accept that maybe his military training is just that good.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing where it's so edited where it's obviously a stuntman mm-hmm. doing all the fighting. I mean, you know, it looks like, yeah, he could beat the shit out of five guys in a row if he had to.
Yeah, you know what? He's got this look on him, you know? I mean, it's something where he owned that role. Now, with this right here, I can't really say the same thing, you know, because where before I kind of – it's an exaggerated character. To say, you know, I mean, let's admit it. You know, this guy in real life, he ain't beating up three guys. All right, and that's just how it is. But you let it go, and it's hard to buy him doing this shit, man. Because for one thing, it's not really the movie's not as good as the first. Let me just say that it's sillier. It's way sillier than the first one, and it's so silly that it brings attention to how silly Tom Cruise's character, or his portrayal of his character, is. To me, you know, when I look at this, because in this movie, he's not so much acting, you know, he's kind of just playing. It's almost a parody of an action star, because everything that he says by looking at you and talking real serious, and always has a great comeback for everything. Somebody could he'll say some smooth shit to you, and the person be like, "Who the fuck are you, man?" He's like, "I'm the guy that does cool shit." You know what I'm saying?
You know? Not lying.
And this is the beginning of the movie that they set this up, and it's just it's almost laughable.
Process him and get him to county.
Two things are going to happen in the next 90 seconds.
Excuse me.
First, that phone over there is going to ring. Second, you're going to be wearing these cuffs on your way to prison.
Well, that is one magnificent prophecy, Mr. Reacher.
Oh, and that Billy Bass fish is going to sing.
She's going to keep on ringing.
Sheriff Raymond Wood.
The guy you didn't count on.
I couldn't help but think that when
did
I saw
Ray pose for that.
What's that? You know what? You look at that and you expecting that all the time, because that's how he always has the last word. Yeah. It's almost like he's playing out some tough guy fantasy, Tom Cruise, with this. Because Tom Cruise, this is something that when I'm watching him play that role, I've seen him be great. Like, this is kind of, I know there's no small parts with actors, but that's kind of beneath you, man, these lines they got you saying. And what also got to me, what brings out the silliness of this movie, is that Tom Cruise can do anything. Tom Cruise can break into anything. Tom Cruise can convince people of anything. And it's not because he's actually that smart. It's because the world that he's in is just that dumb. You know, it's a fucking dumb world that he's in, because he will go into places. He'll go into places and people will, they make it easy for him. Like he breaks into a military. No, actually, he's already in the military prison. Mm-hmm. And he gets out not because of his skills, but because people leave their keys behind. People leave their credit cards and wallets. People leave doors open. People who saw him going to prison just saw him walk in. They see him walking out, and they're like, "Good day, Mr. Reacher." You know, don't ask no questions. And now that he's broken out, he even breaks back in to break out Colby Smulders. And when he does that, these people right here, you know, he's already in there.
Yeah.
He goes back in, and the thing with her is that everybody on this base, they can't fight. They ain't, because she's with him, all of a sudden together, that goddamn Black Widow and Captain America, they might as well be superheroes. They can beat up the whole fucking base if they want to.
Ma'am, these men are here to transfer you.
Who are they? Reacher?
These men are here to kill you.
Soldier,
You know who I am.
You've been relieved of command, ma'am.
No time.
I'm being held here without cause. It is your right to catch. That soldier was under my command.
We don't have time for this.
I left explicit orders for you to stay away.
Orders? You ordered me?
Yes. I knew you'd do something like this.
Don't make me regret it.
You may not have time for all that shit, but can you feel all that time they're making for that sexual tension right there? I mean, it's so obvious the shit that they're setting up right here. And you know what? And these henchmen that they got, that's another reason why he can do so much shit in this movie, because they got these henchmen at a fucking discount, man. These are some Dollar General-ass henchmen right here.
Well, you have to at this point, because people like the Joker and Lex Luthor have killed off all the best talent.
No, man. These dudes right here.
They're so obvious.
They're obviously bad dudes in suits with dark glasses on.
Yeah. That's the thing about them. I made that written down. They are so obvious. Their villainy is out there for people to see.
Yeah.
Like, one of them is bald and got shades on. He's watched too many James Bond movies. The other one, when he got the job of henchman, he went straight to the salon and got himself the worst blonde dye job.
I mean, use all the hydrogen peroxide in the world. Fuck my shit up.
Looking like Duke Nukem and shit over there.
Burn me.
And the funny thing about him is that they're so busy playing henchmen, not doing henchmen, playing henchmen, looking at each other's dress, you know, how they're dressed and shit, like being like their Halloween characters and shit. Tom Cruise is sitting in an IHOP eating pancakes in broad daylight. And they can't, it takes a second for them to lose him.
How long are we supposed to do this? I'm getting hungry.
Just be patient.
Hey. Where'd he go?
That is a classic line of every stupid ass henchman out there. Hey, where'd he go?
You're supposed to be watching him.
What do you think about eyes in the back of my head? How's it going?
Fuck you!
Don't. Show me. Throw him back. I don't like being followed.
I ain't even a real person.
Do you notice that there's a gun in the back seat of that car? That henchman can shoot his ass at any moment. Yeah, he can't interrupt his cool walk.
Don't you dare.
No, yeah. He's like, oh,
you know the rules.
Your walk is just too cool, mate.
Dude, yeah, like the main, well, not the main bad guy, but like the direct underling was wearing like all black leather, black gloves. I'm like, man, if I just was walking the street and saw him, I'm like, he's going to murder somebody. I know he is. He's up to no good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is almost like a parody. Like, these villains dress like they're supposed to be villains. And it really is the funniest part of the movie, these goons that they got. Because they just bring in two more and they keep fucking up. Don't get them up in the air. Don't put them on a plane, because they don't even try.
That's like, true. It's like they signed up for the henchman plan and just got told to send out, we don't get training, and we don't have time for that. Yeah. Just get on the plane.
Not
like,
good.
You'll figure out what
that
to
is
do.
Like, it is. Like, they just signed up. It's like, man, you got to get the plane. Hey, go. We beating up Jack Reed, man. Go.
It's a haircut. All you contractors go to the same barber?
You know what I like? I like the way that henchman was actually flattered at first.
Thanks.
You see, the way he was combing his hair, like, wow, thanks, Jack. Oh, shut up. And, you know, and here's another thing. I like that woman in the back right there.
All you contractors go to the same barber?
That woman in the back don't give a fuck.
You're damn right. Well,
yeah, like everybody's asleep, but they don't hear. They don't like getting banged around. Mm-hmm. But even the contractor, the goon himself, when Tom Cruise sat down, he didn't look like, oh shit, you're my target. He was kind of like, my friend was sitting right there, man. Yeah. What are you doing? Who are you?
They suck, man. That woman right there, she gets me, man. She's kind of like, babe, I'm on vacation. I ain't getting in the middle of this shit right now.
Would you jump in the middle of this? I'd do the same thing. Well, that looked like it hurt. Sky Mall, hey.
I'll be faking like I'm asleep. You know, it's but you think that one goon right there was bad? The other one's worse. Childish, man.
He had to do that. Just in case he got back up. You ain't walking fast, buddy.
Man, he kicked him in the foot. He was already out, man. He had to do that shit.
No, he had to break his foot.
You see how slow that fool
was. It's like they put them on a plane but didn't tell them what Jack Reacher looked like.
These are some discount bargain ass goons that they got. That motherfucker didn't even try. Look how slow he is.
I'm almost done. Damn.
And if he was quick, he just would have peed in Tom Cruise's face and right his ass out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He already had his dick in his hand.
He like,
That motherfucker must have been drinking at the airport when he got
probably.
Who are you? You know, and that's the thing about this. You see how they're bending logic, how they're bending this world so that Jack Reacher can get away with shit? I mean, I know we said we wouldn't get involved on the plane if somebody was fighting, but it's a, come on, y'all. It's a plane. I mean, if a baby so much as coughs in front of you, you're getting upset.
You hear it, yeah.
And somebody going to do a barroom brawl in front of you, and like Martin said, nobody hears it. What fucking airline is this? Is this an airline for the deaf and blind? You
know, Spirit Airlines?
Yeah. Where they can't see or hear somebody getting their ass whooped on the flight. And notice there's not one goddamn stewardess on this flight.
I know.
Not one. I mean, unless Jack Reacher beat them all up before he got on board.
You know, they got at least another hour in the air where somebody's going to come by that bathroom and go like, hey, there's somebody in here, and there's a bunch of blood all around.
Yeah. Whose henchman is this? This is silly, you know? This is where it's lazy. This movie has this whole movie has a who cares, let's just get this over with kind of feel to it. It almost wants to be stupid. It almost wants to be stupid just so it can get done what it has to do. It almost makes you feel guilty for asking things about it. You know, like, hey, man, what about those stewardesses? Well, what about these people? Like, oh, you a smart guy, huh? So let's just do the job and get on out of here. The fuck you asking questions for?
You know what you're here for.
You know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, it's just lazy. I mean, instead of trying to actually do some decent, I mean, I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not even asking them to do something new. But it's obvious when they do something that's lazy just so they can bump something else up. Just like with the main villain that we were talking about here, played by Patrick Housinger. He's only known as the Hunter in the movie. Now, you see him in army gear right there, but as Corey said, you know, the reason why the goons are so stupid is so they can make him look more threatening.
Mm-hmm.
But to do that would take some writing, so let's just make these other dudes look stupid as fuck, and then, you know, he'll look more badass. And when I say he'll look more badass, like Corey said, he goes to the movie looking like fucking Zorro or something.
Like he's Neo.
Yeah, like some Matrix shit. Yeah. He's got on it's hot outside. He's wearing not only
in New Orleans
a black shirt, black pants, but he's wearing a trench coat,
yeah,
some shades, got on some gloves, like it's wintertime.
Driving the most obvious car, a Maserati. Like, bro, if you're going to blend in, pick up a Kia or a Honda or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, the dialogue with him to... him and Jack Reacher, they have some of the worst little bitch-ass...
verbal slap fights.
Verbal slap fight, little pissing match. Like, he spends more time on the phone trying to go after Reacher than going after him. He's on the phone like, where are you? Where are you? I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to fuck you up. Well, fuck you. No, fuck me. Fuck you.
Yeah, like, your mama's one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like him to both y'all some bitches. I mean, you know, this is that villain is such a disappointment. How flat that villain is, especially when you consider how creepy to a point of almost being great Werner Herzog was.
Oh, I know.
And he didn't even have to do shit. You see, that's his weapon in the movie. That look right there.
The creepiness.
Yeah, sitting in the shadow looking like Mr. Burns and shit. You know? Yes. You know, this is amazingly for a movie where they have Tom Cruise in it. There's some amazingly bad writing and development. Even for Tom Cruise's character, Jack Reacher, where he's supposed to be a hard character, but they want to give him some heart in this film.
Mm-hmm.
And to give him some humanity, they give him a teenage girl that might be his might be his daughter, might not be her name. The actress's name is Danica Yarosh. I think she was on Heroes, the second season of Heroes.
Second season of Heroes, man. Come
yeah,
on.
I don't know. Yeah,
anybody
yeah.
who watched it flushed it from their memory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Didn't they do a new Heroes or something?
Yes.
That's
Heroes
what.
Which was weird because everybody hated Heroes by the time it ended. And they're like, hey, look, we brought back your old favorite. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah, they were like, no, you gonna like this shit. We're going to keep putting it out there until you do like
right.
it. And she's in that. She was in that show. She's here. And, you know, she's that teenager that she's shitty, she's bratty. Everything that he says to her, she whatever. I mean, and she's a you know, for one thing, it's creepy with him because I'm not saying he's a pedophile or anything, but for him to show that he cares is just him looking over bed at her while she's asleep. You know, for us, I mean, for them, that's them telling us like, oh, he cares. And for us, we're like, no, this is weird as fuck right here, man. And this girl right here, when I say she's a bratty teenager, she's supposed to be 15 in the movie. She's really 18 in real life. But she, you hate her. You want her to die. You know, there's a there are moments where they talk common sense shit to her. They say, we are trying to help you. You are going to die. She's like, die, whatever. You
know, it's like, let me text my friends. Hold on a second.
Bitch. Yeah.
They're tracking with your phone. Well, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Did I have? Oh, my God.
It's not even like that. It's kind of like they can track you with the phone. I have one more text to send, please. You know, like, bitch, you know what? I can put your little narrow ass right here. Out in the car, and these goons can get your ass, but they're gonna fuck it up too.
99 problems.
What's that?
Say 99 problems.
Yeah, it's and she doesn't leave that mode at all. At least from what I saw, I had to leave about 5 minutes before the movie was done.
Oh, she softens
just a little bit, but not enough to be likable. You know, I with this film, the biggest thing with me, and I'm you know, I just ask you right now before I go into any more depth with this, like Martin, I'm more curious to hear about what you think about this since you enjoyed the first one so much.
I did, and sadly, this left behind so much of what I liked about the first one. I mean, getting the silly action stuff, that's kind of typical. Everybody accepts it with Jason Bourne. It's almost like it's the new, it's the thing. But that's part of what was wrong with this was how generic it felt. I was like, I'm just gonna forget this whole movie or everything that happened in it. There's so many things from even from this particular book, characters that they don't name or do things with, and just some of the humor that pushes the kind of humor in the dialogue that pushes it along. Like even when the action is silly, you're still kind of with it because it has a certain tone.
Yeah.
It's just not here. There's nothing really memorable about it other than the fact that they took this hard character and they spent a lot of time trying to kind of have the strong female character, like, look, she's just as tough as him. He fucks up sometimes, and she's just as good. It's like, well, okay, but you're sort of diluting the story here. And even the story itself, you're kind of like, I feel like there's another way to tell this.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, speaking of they're trying to make Colby Smulders a strong character, they don't. They do that by making – her two things are fighting and being annoying. I mean, she's that chick where she's hyper-vigilant about her feminism. It's like Tom Cruise comes in. He's like, hey, look, I got to go handle these bad guys. Could you watch the girl right here? She's like, watch the girl? Why? Because I'm a woman? And he's like, nah, bitch, because you're going to get killed if you try to fight these dudes I'm fighting. Like, why does this chick always be about feminism, you know? It's like, what the fuck? I mean, and I'm, you know, I get it. I get it. They don't want to make a damsel in distress. But, like I said, everything is kind of shorthand right here. What about you, man? I mean, did you see the last one?
I did see the last one. And that was the one thing right before this movie started, I was talking to Chris Cox, and I was saying, like, I was like, I don't remember anything from the first one, but I remember I liked it. And I kind of felt the same way about this one. Like, I feel like I'm not going to remember this coming, you know, months and months down the line, probably next week, to be honest with you. But with the majority of this, I was having a good time with it, especially the first third. Like, when I was watching the part when they went into a store to go check something, I was like, wow, this is, like, very almost shot for shot like Captain America the Winter Soldier was.
Right, right.
So I was like, all right, this is kind of cool. But then the second they introduced that teenage daughter, man, that's when everything came to a screeching halt for me. And I was like, I can't stand this girl.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's just an unnecessary plot device. And I feel like she's going to do those same things. They're like, oh, wow, look, she's helping, so she's necessary. But then she's going to do something stupid. And she did that like four times. So I'm like, all right, she's just basically there to be like, all right, he has feelings. But, you know, she's literally not. She was wasted. She did not need to be in this movie. I don't know how she was in the book, but she didn't need to be there.
It's a different way they handle it in the book. I mean, there's a lot of differences. And when I look at them, I go like, you know, the things that you changed, it wouldn't have cost you any money. It would have made for a better story. There's small details, but this movie lacked details. That's what it needed.
Yeah, and you know, and this movie lacks a lot of shit. This movie lacks anything that sets it apart from being a Jason Statham action.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why I'm wondering. See, look, nobody would have said shit about this if you had just done a couple of things. One, if, like I said, if you put Jason Statham in here, people, well, that's what you do, man.
Yeah.
You know, and don't even put that in the theaters. Put that shit straight to VOD. No, everybody would have been like, okay, cool. I might even watch this shit. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I know what this is all about. But Tom Cruise, Tom, why you doing this shit, man? I mean, this
and it's his producer, McQuarrie. Is it? I keep wanting to say Ralph, but that's from Star Wars.
Christopher McQuarrie. Yeah,
yeah, he's the producer on the Mission Impossible stuff.
He directed Mission Impossible,
right?
And he wrote the world. What is it? The one where he kept dying. It was like
Edge of Tomorrow.
He wrote Edge of Tomorrow. So you know, I'm sure that there's some ties in there that brought him in here and made this movie what it is, but this is any generic ass action flick that you will find on Netflix. You will find in Redbox. Jason Statham will probably even look at this shit and be like, "No, man, there ain't nothing here for me." Mm-hmm. You know, what I mean, it's
very much a movie he would have made.
Yeah, it's baffling how flat this movie is, and yet they got an A-list actor like Tom Cruise to be in here. Like I was saying, either Scientology really did make him do this shit for some reason, or he's acting out some sort of tough guy fantasy with
You saw how many times his name popped up in the credits. He's making money off this. His producer slash writer slash, you're like, Jesus Christ.
I guess. But I wonder how this is going to start to perform once people kind of see that this is not anything different than what they can rent offline. Because the music in here, generic action music, this has the look of any CBS cop show. I mean, this shit is TV quality, and yet they got Tom Cruise to be in this for whatever reason. That's going to be the selling point. But that would be the selling point for something like Netflix, which is the saving grace for me. If you are on Netflix and you're just browsing from poster to poster, and his face pops up, and somehow he fools you into watching this bullshit, you know, you're going to be there, and you're going to be like, all right, you know what? I'm at home. I watched half of this. Maybe I'll just even watch the whole thing. I don't feel like I really lost my time with it, but it's not that good either, which is why I would come around to giving this a rental. And it's a low rental. I mean, I was watching this, and I was like, man, this is bad for anybody, but it's an extra level of bad because they got this boy to be in this movie. But
you feel more bad for Tom Cruise than yourself for coming out of this?
Man, you mentioned Tom Cruise 17 times then.
Well, let me put it in there at 18 times. Fuck Tom Cruise. He shouldn't be doing this kind of shit. Because you know what? It's all a selling point. The studios know what they're doing. That's why I feel like it's almost like that. Because they put him in here and they say, you know what? Since we have him in the movie, we don't even have to try that hard with this. That's the feeling I get from it. We can just slap this shit together. Got an A-list actor to put on the poster, and you know what? That's just bank right there.
I don't quite see it the same way you do. I mean, I feel like we might come to a similar conclusion, but I don't see it so much like, man, Tom Cruise, you're just trying to get a check. I think he really wants to take off with this character.
No,
make
I didn't
a
say
franchise.
Tom Cruise really wants to be this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
The studio. Is where they just
well, yeah,
like,
it's just like,
throw
like,
some
like he hooked up with the studio, and maybe he was in part of a deal like, hey, if I do this, I want to make another Jack Reacher movie. And the resources just aren't, you know, they have it so much of it in New Orleans, which tells you, like, hey, it's cheap to shoot there. Let's move the movie there. I mean, there's so many things where it's on the edge of being what it should be, but the writing is just what kills it ultimately. And it's like nobody knew how to have this pop like it should. And it's too bad, because scene after scene after scene. I mean, that opening scene with him with the sheriff in the diner, like that set the tone for the, like, all right, well, this is a very Jack Reacher-ish scene. But nothing else felt like that. And what you brought up is very true. They make him a badass by making everybody else so incompetent. And they don't really explain how he has the knowledge that he has. Like, yeah, if you read the books, you don't understand why he knows so much. But just a casual viewer, you're like, all right, just generic super action guy. I do agree it's a rental. It just doesn't have the things that would even elevate it to that matinee status, which sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I really liked about this is, and this is something they rarely do with things like Jason Bourne and any other Jason Statham movie, is they actually show him get, like, hurt. Like,
yeah,
this was where he's like knocked down, beat up, and I was like, all right, you know, for an action movie, I rarely get to see that, so I do get to see him be vulnerable. I liked a lot of the fight choreography in here because, I mean, there was the chase scene in New Orleans. I enjoyed that escape from prison. I thought that was pretty neat, even though, like, it was very, very far-fetched. You two are both right 100% about the writing being just, like, flat and not being, I guess, even any I remember with the last movie, the writing was a little bit intelligent, but this one is just stupid. But it's an action movie, and like I know that's not a good excuse, but like, going into this, I was like, you know what? If it's just going to be this stupid, and you're going to have all these goons till you get to the boss fight, till you get to the next boss fight, all right, cool. I'm down for that. It kept my attention, and I actually had fun with some. There were a few lines and quips he had where I was like, all right, this is something that's really close to like a old throwback to an 80s action movie. And with that, man, I give this a matinee. I enjoyed it maybe a little bit more than you. Okay. But you know, I have fun with it.
You don't know horror, you don't know action, man.
I'm kidding, man.
I mean, I probably would have gave it at least a high rental, if not a low matinee. But I'm disappointed because with this, I realized like, okay, this can't go any further now.
It could have been like you saying this some Jason Statham stuff. It could have been like Jason Statham is really
dumb.
This
movie is so I can't forgive laziness. This movie is so lazy. Like it's a flat looking film, and they go to New Orleans to let the city do the work for the movie. You know, basically. They go when a parade is going on. By the way, that's what studios do. They take vacation. Think about how many times a movie has gone to New Orleans to shoot a film
because it's cheap.
Because it's cheap, and they can get fucked up over there. Yeah. And
they didn't go full Sandler. They didn't go to like Africa.
That's true.
Australia.
And you know, this is just like I said, man. This is cartoonish right here. Like, I mean, look, this villain is so villainous. He even put on his villainy mascara on right there, man. So he got dark eyes and shit.
Look at your eyes.
No. I'm a villain too. Some people say, "Boo ha ha." So, yes, your point, sir.
Okay.
I wish I had a trapdoor button right now.
See if you got that other office.
Yeah. I know.
Could have been reprimanded in that office. Don't you ever talk about my eyes again.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, what do we got here? You know what? Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll do some villainy right now. Fuck it up. Martin gets the gold star unless Mr. Goodwin over here gets chosen to do that. You know what I'm going to do? We got somebody in here that I can bring up to play the game. I'm going to bring up Matt, since Matt is here. Matt, come on up. Take your time, by the way.
On Tinder.
I know, Lee. Wait, you playing with yourself during the middle of the show?
Mojo won't let him go.
Where you going?
Sit down, bitch.
Oh, my God.
I like the way Mojo's walking off. Yeah, you better sit down.
I need a board.
I got you.
And a marker.
I got you. Look at this.
And an eraser.
The marker I can't help you with, but I got a board for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, let me see what I got here. Now, you know what? Here's the thing. Matt, how you doing, first of all? Let's go ahead and have you come in.
Yeah, good.
Let's bring you in a little bit more right there. How you doing, sir?
Good, yeah.
Now, can you focus in just a little bit so we can see all that Hampson? Hey, wait a minute. Hey, come on back now. Come on. There you go. That's good right there. Hanging out with Matt last night. So one thing I know about Matt, Matt likes to drink.
He's Australian.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all start drinking at what, 7 over there?
In the morning?
No, at age.
That's right. Yeah.
And in the morning.
The Vegemite and the Fosters.
You know what, Matt? It would be my pleasure to buy you a couple of drinks tonight if we can have you do one thing, and that is have this game won on your behalf. And somebody out there, I love the ways that these games are going now.
These quizzes have been devolving.
There's always somebody coming in who's saying, you know what, let me try.
I'm the best.
Yeah, you know, these other sons of bitches, they ain't shit. I know how to quiz. Mm-hmm. I know trivias. So we got somebody who's even adopted the name of one of the greatest quiz masters out there.
Enigma.
Edward Nigma has sent me, the Riddler himself has sent me over a game tonight. And let me see if I can find Mr. Nigma's email in here. Let me just type it in. Edward Nigma. There we are. And he even told me, he said, hey, I've noticed that your other folks have been fucking up.
To put it mildly,
and I'd like to come in and see if I can help you guys out. And
we can't get Justin back.
Jay-Z.
Justin, he's busy starting over. He's got a new life right now over there in New York. Let him get settled in, and maybe we can have him do some
once New York later. Turns him out.
Yeah, once he becomes a male prostitute, we'll see.
This is caffeine? Oh my God.
Let's see here. Now, Mr. Nigma has actually come in and said that, you know, something. Not only am I going to do a better quiz, but I'm going to do it differently.
Oh, no.
He said, no, and this might be easier for you. He says, you know something, I'm going to do something visual. And I have his description right here. He says, the game is simple. You have two images, and if you associate them correctly, you should be able to find out the requested Tom Cruise, being Tom Cruise's character in a movie.
Okay.
Now, for those of you out there who are listening, I'm going to go ahead and describe the image to you. And you're going to have to guess what Tom Cruise movie or character this belongs to. Now, before we start, I need you to pick somebody who will do tribute for you, Mr. Wayne.
I'll go Martin.
Martin. Especially with this. He looked at this. He's especially with this. Martin knows exactly what this is. He has so much experience with this image here.
Okay.
And, okay, now, and you can play along, too, because there's no answer right there. So let me go ahead and bring up my music. And let me go ahead and describe to people the first thing that the folks are seeing. And, oh, where is my suspense? Ah, there it is. All right, let me go ahead and play this for you. And the first image that we're looking at right now, we're looking at drinks and a shaker. Drinks and a shaker, as in a drink shaker. So, what do you think? Matt, now I'll let these guys write their answers out. Did you already write them?
Yeah.
And Matt, what do you think? Cocktail. Let me go over here and see. And let me consult with my panel of alcoholics here. What do you think? Is that correct? And they say, yes, the answer is cocktail. And the name says it all for itself right there. Tom Cruise is one of the most charismatic bartenders in the world. Came out in the 80s, a movie I never saw. How was that movie, man?
I never saw it.
Did anybody see it?
Nobody saw it.
Well, a lot of people who became bartenders did.
You know how many bottles were broken, how much money lost, because
exactly.
Everybody was trying to do that twirling shit he was doing in the movie?
That's coming out of your check.
Everybody trying to be Tom Cruise. I still see that shit today. People grinning and dropping bottles of alcohol. And that's all I remember about the movie. They just sold that movie in the trailer. It's just nothing but him twirling drinks.
Yeah, they sold it on that. And I think it was just some lame love story when it came down to it.
It is. I remember that much. All right. This is a little harder. Number two. Let me see if I cannot guess what this is, but I have not spent a whole lot of time on it. Let me put this up for you. We have some lightning and the days of the week. Some lightning, and we have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The days of the week spelled out. A picture of some lightning and the days of the week spelled out. Corey said, I'm not going to even fucking try. Oh, do you want to see it again? Tough one, right?
Okay.
Has it come to you? Meanwhile, well, then, now I don't know what this is. Really, like, but you
know, that's
funny. What do you think? See, now let's see if Martin is equally as good. And Martin, I haven't even looked at the picture yet. Very good, Martin. Hey, you liking this game so far? Martin's in a very meh.
Turn to Mariah Carey.
Just like that. Martin told me one time about this dude in a movie theater when he was trying to watch the movie, and it was a guy sitting right in front of him, and he said the guy just kept getting louder and like and Martin wanted to say shut up, but it was a dude in a wheelchair. So
Martin, before it started, he was already making noises. Once he got going, somebody came over and like kind of like, hey, can you? But yeah, I mean, what can you do?
Be funny if the guy like, no, I can't, get the fuck out of here.
Hey, it's not like that time you got up to walk over to somebody only to see that they were mentally handicapped.
Don't remind me.
Turn around.
Don't remind me.
Okay.
Man, it was so hard fun. It was a
it was a girl.
It was so some girl was
like
some,
a teenager.
It was
girl.
A movie that was playing and somebody was in there just laughing. And I was like, it's not that fucking funny. I even yelled it out. And then they kept, and I finally said, I'm gonna take care of this shit. And I walked over there and I looked right in this girl's face and she looked at me like, hey. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's miniature. I even had no words. I looked at the people.
He just came, floated back, deflated.
Did that Charlie Brown walk? I didn't even look at him. I couldn't even say I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I didn't know what had happened to make you come back that way. But I was like, man, I wish I could have seen that. You see exactly what went on. So as you were walking back and he yelled out,
Yeah, man. It's like that was worse than getting beat down. That was worse than an ass whooping. Like, I just came back. I was almost like I did get beat up. But I just sat down. And I was just like, that was the most shameful moment in my life.
It would have been more shameful had you just, like, really flew off the handle before you even got close enough to see. Like, listen, I'm going to have to ask you to shut your
I know. I don't know what's worse, though, if it was that. Because I got right in the girl's face. I was ready to go, you shut the fuck up. And it was her. And here's the thing that was so horrible about it. Like, her mother was holding her like she was about to get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Man, I've been...
And they've been scared of black people ever since.
Yeah, they... I've probably got about 3 or 4 black men killed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the highlight of my life. So let's go... I really am a good person.
Oh, the fun you'll have at a general audience theater.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our next one right here. Now, what I'm looking at right here, I'm looking at a picture of a city and a cab. A city and a cab.
All kinds of fucked up.
I'll show it one more time. A city and a cab. I think you saw some of the
cab. Really?
Very good.
I saw the cab.
Very good. The chat actually Whatever. Put the answer in there, and I took it off real quick.
Oh, really? I can't see the chat.
You cannot?
I mean, I see it was
looking
there.
Down when the picture came out.
Yeah, I know the chat's there, but I can't read it.
What have you got? These guys say Collateral. And you know what? I already saw the answers. You guys got it. The answer is Collateral. The city in that picture was Los Angeles. We had Jamie Foxx pull the cab and Tom Cruise. And a big time defense man played an assassin in that movie, a hitman.
Yeah.
And he carries, he makes Jamie Foxx drive him to a couple of hits that night. That was a Michael Mann movie. Actually, not bad.
And when it was all over, Jamie Foxx hooked up with his ex-wife.
Oh, that's wait a minute. Katie Holmes. Was she in the movie too?
No.
Okay, I didn't. Man, it's been a long time since I've seen that shit. You know what? I'm not gonna put you out there, Martin. But I do believe you couldn't see that.
I couldn't.
If Martin didn't have his glasses on, I felt so bad last night.
Man, you got to talk about everything.
No, man, I like talking about stories. But no.
Every question has had an anecdote with it.
Well, Martin told me last night, he said he had a receipt. He's like, man, look at this. I can't really see the number on there to put the proper tip down. I looked at it, and Martin had the receipt upside down. I didn't know you needed your glasses that bad.
Reading numbers in a dark room like a bar, I do.
Jesus, man.
Or a restaurant. Like that. There was that one time you took me out to dinner for my birthday. Over at Justine's, and I had the menu, and I couldn't see that shit at all.
And the menu was upside down too that day.
And I just looked over and looked at what somebody else had. So I just saw a steak go by. I said, I'll get a steak. I didn't even want a steak, but I was like, well, I can say, give me one of those.
I'm glad you just pointed out a small child or something. I want that.
Medium rare.
What'd I say? What? Hey. All right. You know what? You actually won. But we're going to keep playing the game. I'm not even giving anybody a choice tonight. We're playing the game still. You have no choice. And if they...
It is fun.
It is. If Martin gets... let me see here. I have confidence in him. If he gets the next one wrong, you lose everything. But there's still a chance to come out of this. So let's go. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into our... Like the way Matt is like, man, fuck you. I don't care about your little stupid prize. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into our next picture right here, which is a uniform in a courtroom.
a uniform.
Do I need to write this down?
No, go ahead, man. Fuck it. You know, go ahead. You know what? Hey,
oh, wait. Boy. Good one. You want to take you,
it's rules of engagement, right?
Well.
No, shit. A few good men.
I liked when that noise brought you back around.
You can't handle shit. A few good men.
Oh, Mark. What,
yeah, a few good men.
Good man. All right. We got that one right there. It is a few good men where they got the classic line, you can't handle the truth. All right. Let's go ahead and get to that Jack Nicholson in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and get to our last picture right here. Ooh. You know what? This one's pretty easy, but let's go ahead and do it anyway. I'm looking at a spectrum of Hughes and some money. Okay, Mark. All right, Mark.
What are we doing?
Go ahead, Mark. What is
color of money? I would get that even if I know what that movie was. I would just tell you what I see. Color money.
All right, man. You got it right there. Even I looked at that like, God damn. Come on, man.
There's really nothing he could have done that wouldn't have given it away, though. Like, think about it. Like, every Tom Cruise movie has a pretty unique name.
Yeah. See, I would have liked a challenge like Edge of Tomorrow. You know, to see what he could have done with something like that.
Instead of just been a dude looking over the edge of a cliff and have a day of the week point to tomorrow. Yeah.
There you go. That's creative right there. But there you are, man. You know, like I said, you're Australian. You like to drink. You ain't going to turn down something. So. Sure. Yeah.
Found a Foster's.
You know, that's
we don't drink that shit.
That's just how your people are. But hey, how's Austin been so far?
Yeah, it's good. I checked out
Terry Black's.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, there's a lot of people come to town. Who was it? Oh, it was a couple of people last night. They went to your favorite place, Martin. Friedman's.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
And they said...
They didn't ask me first.
Ignorance is bliss, man, because they said it was barbecue heaven. So I said, all right, you guys have it then.
Knock yourself out.
And that was after I talked shit about it. I've been in an old stupid-ass place. Charging too much for barbecue. We liked it. It's like, okay. Actually, they've gotten better.
Have they?
Yeah, they have. A lot of people go there. I actually went there one time, too. It's actually a good place. Just a little pricey, but it's not a bad place. So, anyway, man, well, it looks like we'll be hanging tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And there goes Matt. And let's go ahead and get into our next movie right now. And let's see what we got. Oh, hell, this one. This shit. Oh. Let me see here. You know something? I saw the poster for this, and it gave me a little bit of hope. Because you know what? There's a
hope in one hand and shit in the other.
Shit in the other. And guess which one I got a second helping of? That shit right there. I'm going to tell you right now, I saw some bullshit. I'm going to give you the rating right now. I ain't going to even wait. There's no use in wasting my time. Keeping Up with the Joneses. I was actually hopeful about this. I gave myself some promise for this. And I got fooled again. I tell you why. You're like, well, what is it that you saw, Corey, that made you think that it was going to be so good? Well, let's go ahead and look at the trailer, because when I went into it, that also helped. That I knew nothing about this.
Me either. I didn't even know it was a comedy.
There was no marketing for it.
There is no marketing for this movie at all, which sometimes can be a good thing. You go in cold, you give the movie a fair shake, and that's the way I went into this. And I'll tell you what it was about the poster that I looked at that gave me a little hope after we watched the trailer, because I know a lot of you out there, you haven't heard about this either.
This is what I love about HR. You learn these little intricacies about people.
Margaret's gonna show us the meaning of trust.
Honey, what am I really doing this summer? I mean, I sent the kids away to camp. I'm redesigning bathrooms.
Think Brooklyn. Exposed brick and
a urinal.
Meg wants me standing up again.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3,
see him looking at me. New neighbors aren't wasting any time moving in, are they?
Hey, honey.
Still spying on the neighbors?
Hi.
We're the Joneses.
Such a lovely street.
The Chinese don't even have a word for a street like this.
They would say, Xingdi he lingwen de kuaile de difeng.
It sounds cool coming out of your mouth.
You don't think there's something off about them?
The
both so overly accomplished and stylish.
Welcome to the Cobra Club.
A little different than you expected, huh?
That looks like a real snake.
Snake one, that's real Cobra.
Do you have tab?
I'm following Natalie Jones.
Hello, Karen.
Natalie!
I was just leaving Team a voicemail. He likes to hear from me when I'm trying on lingerie. It's one of our things. Do you and Jeff have a thing?
We do it really fast, in case the kids come running into our room.
Mm.
Who are these people?
We need evidence.
I just want to make sure this is not paranoia.
What is this?
There's a missile.
That's me.
What is all this stuff?
Honey, is that you? Mama wants a cuddle.
The Joneses. They're not who they say they are.
Here's the thing about trust.
Once it's gone, bad things can happen.
It's the Joneses!
Get the car, now!
I count to three. We're gonna run, okay? One, two...
Oh, my God!
Jeff!
You can't be serious!
I was making a head start!
On your wife? Hello, sweetie. No, the cookies are for both of you. Well, just split the last one.
Just split the cookie! Split the cookie!
This tie's been fitted with a miniature surveillance mic. It's completely undetectable.
We don't get out very often, so we really like to make the most of it.
Here's the thing with this. Spies in the suburbs. It's not that hard to do. People have done it with a level of success. A lot of people don't even mention this movie right now. Arnold Schwarzenegger, True Lies.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Spies in the suburbs. I mean, it's so basic that you can even just put a little twist on there. And people appreciate that. Shit, I'll throw in spy kids. Shit, I'll throw in dogs and
kids.
I'll throw in cats and dogs.
Neither is that.
Now, I'll tell you why, because they at least tried. They at least tried. They're like, you know what? Shit, it's so basic. We throw some kids in there. Shit, we'll make some dogs be some spies.
I'd rather they not try than make those two movies.
I'd rather they try more than the shit that we get today. At least they tried to put some kind of spin on it. What do we get? What do we get today? I mean, even on television. Even that it's not a comedy, but even on television, you get things like The Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drama, you know, but it's still spies in the suburbs. But when they get to comedy on the screen today, lazy. One of the laziest formats. What do we get today? We get things like Central Intelligence. You know, where it's such a trite premise that they, at this point, they're not even trying with the jokes. The premise is bringing the jokes down with them. But I can say this much about Central Intelligence, which you love, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, Goodwin said, told me it was good.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you it's shitty. I'm telling you that right now. Now, you go ahead and waste your time with that if you want to. Don't come crying to me. But
all right, Bernie Mac.
That was Bernie Mac. I'm crying to me, Montal. That was accidental, by the way. Maybe he's coming back. You know, man, I'm possessed by Bernie Mac right now. But I can see how people could like that, though, because the thing is, at least
people are dumb. Right.
I didn't say, no, he said, not me. I didn't say that, Corgo. But you know, the thing is that they at least, with that lame ass premise, they at least trying to keep it up with the lame ass jokes. They're at least trying to keep it 50-50 in here. With this shit that we got in this movie, keeping up with the Joneses, it's like the shitty jokes took over to the point they forgot they were making a movie. They forgot the premise of the movie that they were making right there. It's not that bad at first. When they are setting up the plot, when they're putting everything in place, I mean, it's again, that's one of that's the allure. Everybody likes that voyeur aspect of these things where the neighbors are looking at the new people across the street, the new people with a secret. Mm-hmm. They're murderers, they're aliens, you know, in this case, they're spies. There's a certain attraction to that. And even some of the jokes in there were kind of funny, you know, they weren't, you could tell this is going to be shit from the beginning, but you're thinking, all right, you know, maybe I'll get some chuckles. Maybe I'll even get some thrills when the real movie kicks in. That movie never comes. Not with the Joneses. Now, you know, and you can see the point where it's funny because you can see where the movie actually abandons everything to let these stupid ass characters do their thing. You can see the turning point because once everything is in place, they just say, fuck it. You know, let it go. You might have seen, you weren't there, were
no,
you?
No, I'm very happy I wasn't.
You were the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm.
you remember that scene when they were at the barbecue?
Uh-huh.
And this, at least for me, because when it turned, it was the first really bad joke in the movie. All of them, you're kind of cringing at some of them, but they had.
But there's that chance it could get better.
It could.
For all we know, we've seen it happen. But there's like the wedding singer, the wedding. What's the Kevin Hart movie?
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wedding Planner.
Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
Where it started out with so bad, but then it got better.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, yeah, we've seen it happen before.
Is it The Ringer?
The wedding, something like that.
Anyway, yeah, Wedding Ringer. Yeah. That's it.
Kevin Hart's in a wedding movie. But you know the thing with this is that there are jokes in there that you're cringing at, but the one that I said, this ain't gonna get no better, because the joke was creepy. Because for them, humor to them is spying on a woman with your camera phone, taking pictures of her ass when she doesn't know it, and you laughing at it like that's some genuine comedy right there.
Hiya, neighbor.
Hey.
Whoa. Seared yellowtail with lemon zest and ginger shavings. Who the hell made this?
Natalie. Apparently she can do everything.
I'm sorry, but who wears that to a barbecue? I mean, there are kids here.
Come on, Meg. It's just a summer dress. It's a very short, very chic, extremely flattering summer dress.
No, well, it's pornographic. Oh. Look at Dan pretending to check his email. If I find pictures of her ass on his phone, BJ Night is canceled.
Trump out there grabbing pussy, you making jokes like this.
Yeah, this won't age well.
No, I don't even know why y'all kept editing. That little snippet, just a little snip would have took that shit out there. And, you know, it sets up kind of a sour tone for the film. But, I ain't that PC. I'm not that sensitive. I let the shit slide. I said, hey, you know what? Bad joke. Let's move on and see what we got. But after that, it's not – you want to know what's more offensive than that joke?
What's that?
Just the, again, how lazy the story is in here, or lack of. What's so funny in here is that these are the shittiest spies in the world right here. Because, I mean, I know it's a comedy. I know I shouldn't be asking all kind of logical questions, but come on, man. If you present spies in the movie, these gorgeous, competent, or we're supposed to think of competent spies, let me know that they can do their shit right. They are under the guise of just being average Americans living across the street from these people. But inside the house, they got all this spy stuff, all this spy shit and important intel. And to have – when you have spies that are supposed to be this great and have such important information, do you think they protect it? No.
Oh, yeah. Lock their laptops.
they put a key under the rock so the neighbors can find it. When you get into the house, the computer room with all the information is wide open.
I'm sorry. You were thinking way too hard about this at this point.
No. Because when they go into that room, the laptops are open conveniently with all the folders open for the people to see. Oh, and while the intruders are in there, why don't you play with some of the gadgets that we've left out in the open too? I'm not thinking hard. That is horrible, horrible, horrible lack of detail, man.
Yes, but for such a silly movie, it's like, sure, I guess, why not?
I will not use as an excuse for this. I will not let this shit slide. No, man.
Not
come on.
Suspend your belief, man.
No, it's a point where people can say.
you got to sit down.
Yeah, I got to get serious.
Yeah, man, you try to compare this to like some spy versus spy shit.
I got to break it down for you, man. You know, okay. Here's the thing, man. Here's the deal. Like, look.
James Bond would never do this.
Exactly.
Maybe if the movie was funny, maybe if the movie was actually somewhat clever, maybe if the movie was not as lazy as it is, I could excuse that. But no, they just didn't fucking think about it. They just let the shit go. Ain't no let it y'all let it slide and I'm nitpicking. No, hell no. I'm not using that shit. It's a comedy. It's a comic book. It's just
No. My thing is, there's so much that's actually really structurally wrong with it that for you to pick
that's
out these,
part
these,
of
these
it.
Little things, that doesn't even
part,
matter.
That but is part
I
was
getting blown over by a tornado. It's like, I don't like this tie.
Yeah.
No, what? No, that's not. No, I ain't alone. Shit. Mia was looking at me. My girl, who you said looks like the girl in the movie right here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she is always, her and Gal Gadot have always reminded me of each other, but especially in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And my girl is so vain, too. She looked at that movie with John Hamm and her. By the way, for those who are listening, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. The movie stars Zach Galifianakis, Isla Fisher, John Hamm, and Gal Gadot.
Isla Fisher.
Isla Fisher. I mess that up all the time.
It's easy.
But Isla Fisher. She looked at them, John Hamm and Gal Gadot get out the car, and she said, "That's us, baby." Well, mostly me.
You're so vain. You probably think this movie's about you.
He said it. I didn't. But you know, hey, look. If I can get Gail, what can I say? If I can get Gail, you know,
compare me to John Hamm. Yeah, I guess.
So. God help it if it's her and Denzel in the movie.
Oh, I know.
They gonna lose their shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, want to make me Black Ham? That's fine. You know, but
Black Ham. You just spew shit sometimes. I do. And just try to giggle and move on to the next thing.
Moving along. Heard it. moving along. But, man, that is not a deal. We were looking at each other and like, wow, this is so obviously, you know, right here that they're not going to even attempt to do some decent writing here. Something of cleverness. And, all right, Martin, here's maybe where you and I can be on the same page with this. Because I like I said, the movie had these characters just flail about. They just flail about trying to, you know, desperate for a laugh with these terrible jokes. And they really do forget that they are telling a story with an arc for these characters.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like they let these people just sit up there and just flap about doing stupid shit. I'm like, oh, fuck, man, we supposed to be telling this. Shoot a bad guy. Oh, hey, man, fuck, man. Oh, car chase. Let's throw a car chase
like
in.
They're in front of a used car lot.
Yeah, just out there, them floating things. Man, shit, we got to tell the story. We're going to do this. I don't know, man. Blow up the fucking house. You know, these things, they happen in spots. They don't happen as part of a story. Even the story with Gal Gadot and John Hamm, they have an arc for them that never sees itself through. They are characters who are tired of this life. They're married, and this life of being these international spies is causing them some grief. And by the end of the movie, that's never really addressed anymore.
There's a movie about spies who are tired, a married couple who are getting tired of life and need to like actually have some therapy and work this out. There's a movie about the suburbs, which are quiet, but suddenly have some mysterious people move in and somebody's trying to figure out what's going on. And yet these two movies, they try to put into this one and don't do shit with either premise.
No, they don't. And it would be one thing if this is a cast that's talented.
Yeah. Because That's probably the thing that hurts the most is, you know, especially between John Hamm and Gal Gadot. They make for a good team.
Yeah.
They make for characters that you could see in a movie actually being ones you'd want to follow, you know, even a franchise maybe. But unfortunately, they're in this movie.
Yeah. And it's a waste of everybody's time. And you can see it with everyone too. These people don't want to be in this film. Isla Fisher, she has nothing to do in this movie but dress up in lingerie at one point and try to convince you that she'd be married to a dumbass like Zach Galifianakis. Gal Gadot knows she's too glamorous to be in this shit. She's just getting a studio check. Zach Galifianakis. Now, that's the guy that I was talking about that gave me hope for this. I was looking at a poster for this. And when I was looking at Zach Galifianakis, I said, and especially at the beginning of the movie, here where they're meeting neighbors and whatnot, I'm like, oh, look at him. He's slimmed down a little bit. He's kind of calmed down a little bit. He's got some composure. He's not doing that dumb shit that he does.
Well, we just saw him in Mastermind.
Yes.
And yeah, exactly. So, like, seeing like, oh, it's another Zach Galifianakis movie. Didn't I just want walk out of one of these? And you come into it, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, you're right. He's thinner. He's calmed down. He's not doing his quasi-gay voice. Maybe this will be a different type of movie than that. No.
That shit lasted 15 minutes.
No.
That's sad, man. Yeah. I remember seeing him in like Birdman. I was like, hey, maybe he's going to make a big change and like do some Jim Carrey shit.
No, he gets paid for doing different versions of stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another lazy thing with this.
I mean, that's the thing. It's almost like I feel like he's the common denominator. He's the factor where it's that thing of like, hey, you're a funny guy. Yeah, we have something called a script. Whatever. We didn't really put in a lot of time in it. But as long as you're willing to get up here and ad-lib, I'm sure it'll come through.
Yeah.
It'll work out. We'll just do 10 takes of everything, and you just think of a different line. And then at the end of the day, we'll figure out which one's the funniest and with that.
You know what? You hit it right there. It's another movie where they're letting people ad-lib.
Yeah.
And the ad-libbing, people are laughing on set. The director might be laughing about it. But when it's put together, you got to put a story in there and quit letting these things take over.
Yeah.
The only person, bless his heart, who's having a good time with this is John Hamm.
Oh, yeah.
John Hamm wants a movie career so bad. He's trying so hard.
Well, not just a movie career. He's just so like, look, I can do more than just Don Draper. I want to be funny. I like doing comedy.
I meant that in the best way. I'm not trying to be insulting. He wants to make the move to movies. And this shit ain't it. You know, you ain't got to take everything that comes your way, man. You know, sit back. You know, let it take something that's worth your time, because this is not worth your talents or anybody else's in here. I feel insulted when I see shit like this, man. I do. I feel insulted because it's something where I can tell that they are counting on the dumbest of the dumbest audiences to carry this through. It's not just, I mean, most of you are not, but they're expecting those people out there who are not going to look for some of the details out there, who are not going to ask about a suck-ass script. Those are the people that they're kind of depending on to do this. And the funny thing about this is that this movie sucks so bad, it's pulling out shitty things from other films. It's like shittiness from other movies that crept into this. I'm looking at some of the people involved with this. Like, you got the writer of this was the writer of Me, You, and Dupree.
Oh, wow. They reached way back.
The music is not that bad. That was another movie I saw recently where the music was shitty. Same dude. I'm not saying he's a bad composer, but he makes that generic-ass comedy music. This is the same guy who composed the music for the Absolutely Fabulous movie. Oh, and even the cinematography looks like this shit looks like some flat Comedy Central comedy show that they have on there. This dude who does the cinematography just came off of Bridget Jones' Baby. So
damn.
It's like suckers just crept in from other films to enhance the shittiness of this.
They're like half writing this while they were doing those other movies.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, you know, I was going to spoil it and give you my rating at the beginning of the review, and I said I gave it some bullshit. Let me put a twist in there. Nah, the more I talk about this, is a fuck you. You know, I do not let lazy shit slide by so easy, man.
You're perturbed tonight, dude.
I'm perturbed. Well, show me some good shit. Quit showing me bad movies.
You putting this on the same level as Yoga Hosers?
Yes, I am.
Damn, I gotta check this shit out.
Yeah, no, you know what? It ain't no. Yoga Hoses was kind of a bullshit because, oh, good fuck you, you know, it's fun.
Good fuck you?
Yeah,
what's a good fuck
you? It's kind of like, all right, you know what, you ain't really trying, but I can get some entertainment out of how bad this is. You ain't gonna get no entertainment out of this, man. You've seen this shit over and over again and done much better in many other places.
So bland and generic fuck
it's
you.
It's so bland. It's a bland and generic fuck you.
Mm.
But, I got some feeling behind that shit. No, it's a hostile fuck you. Martin, go ahead.
Okay, it's a bad movie. No doubt. It's like watching Masterminds all over again. The characters are not as annoying, but at the same time, it doesn't have any of the surprise laughs that I got from Mastermind. It's bad. I don't feel hatred in my heart for it the way you do.
I feel hate.
I mean, like I said, you know, John Hamm was good. I like Gal Gadot. When you finally get to the surprise, I don't know if it's a spoiler to reveal who the villain is, but I liked him a lot in it. Even for the two scenes he's in, it's enough to let me just like leave it just right as kind of a sort of positive some old bullshit.
The way you talk, I thought you were gonna give this shit a rental or something, man. Why you been?
I mean, I almost could.
Why?
It's just
Martin. Why don't you let me enjoy my hate, man? Why don't you let me?
I want you to save it for those things that really you diminish the value of your hate when you throw it at things like this.
No, I don't. This is bullshit. This is
yes. It's what? No, but, no, but this say, is, say it again.
This is but fuck you.
Like, you're putting this there with Yoga Hosers, 50 Shades of Black.
Uh-huh.
Think about it.
Yes, I.
God damn, man.
I am clear in my decision, and I stick by it.
Hey, man, that's, I'm not gonna criticize you.
You know, it's not those two movies.
I'm planting roots in this shit right now.
You're gonna.
One foot in the fuck and the other in you. I'm not going nowhere.
You going to do a change.org for this, too?
No. Maybe. Let him do this shit again.
You ain't going to do shit. Come on now.
Maybe that's what my change.org will be. Help Corey do shit. Fuck this movie. God damn it. Let me see here. Now, y'all done threw my schedule off by not letting me do my Moonlight review.
All right, you could do it.
No.
We'll just come back with our rebuttal.
No. I want to see what y'all.
Especially in the mood he's in right now.
I know. And that's another thing. I do not want to. I don't want to build anything up for y'all because that's what y'all will do. You're gonna let me build it up for you.
Man, you already told me it's your favorite movie of the year.
I don't want to build it up for you.
God damn it. You know, fuck, I'm going to do my review. You done took it out there, Martin. I can't let these people wait a week now. I'll do it, and I'll see what you guys think. But please don't let me hype this up for you. Please don't let me hype this movie up for you.
We're going to come back rental.
Oh, it's all right, man.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was good.
I will be so upset if y'all do that. I mean, it ain't even got to be y'all's favorite movie of the year. I'm talking about Moonlight. it doesn't even have to be your favorite movie of the year.
Okay.
But I'm going to give
it. That's good. I'll give it a full price. Full price? That's it?
You know what? I'll go and do a quick review, and then we'll do a full review when you guys come in. I'll give you a little preview, and this will be a good setup to see if these guys agree with me when they go see it. But Moonlight is a movie where a lot of people are going to say that it's a certain kind of coming of age story. They're going to try to just pin this movie in as a certain type of thing. And once you see this trailer, it's not going to even tell you everything that I am talking about right now. And when you look at the trailer, you'll see some things like, oh, it's a coming of age story in the hood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a coming of age story in the inner cities. The strife of the life of a drug dealer or the kid who's raised up in a drug dealing atmosphere. Well, you go ahead and take a look at this trailer. I will let you think that, but I'm going to tell you right now, this movie is so much more than what you see right here.
What you looking at me like that for?
Come on, man. Come on. You just drove down here?
Yeah.
Who is you, Sharon?
I'm on time. Try not to remember. Try to forget all those times.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you gonna be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
You won't tell him why the other boys kick his ass all the time.
What's wrong?
I'm good.
No, I'm seeing good. You ain't it.
Remember the last time I saw you?
Listen.
To who, Ma? Huh? To you? Who is you, man?
I ain't seen you in like a decade.
It's not what I expected. What did you expect?
It said they gave you a hint of what you could probably expect in this movie, but just in case you couldn't put it all together, this movie's told in three parts of the character named Chiron. And Chiron, it starts out with Chiron as a little kid. In fact, his nickname is Little. His life as an awkward teenager and him as an adult who's kind of come full circle as a result of his environment. And what this movie, it was not telling you very heavily in the trailer, is that this is not only a coming of age movie about growing up in the inner city, but it's a coming of age movie about sexuality. It's a coming of age movie about sexuality within this culture right here.
Yeah, I'm getting a very Chuck and Buck vibe from it.
Yeah, this is it's because of it being in this environment that we see the inner city, you know, projects, you know, a place where people are interacting with drug dealers and other what society considers unsavory characters all the time. We don't see coming of age stories of this type told from that perspective. Mm-hmm. More importantly, we don't see stories about sexuality, homosexuality here told within this culture this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a culture that's very hyper masculine, especially when it's dealing with people who are drug dealers, people who are growing up in tough neighborhoods. And, you know, when we're talking about people who grew up with no fathers, we're talking about people who grew up with their mothers who are addicted to drugs. And when we see these kind of teen angst stories, they're not really told from this point of view because that's not exactly what it is. Some people want to tell, that's what they want to do. They want to pigeonhole this movie as being a movie about a hood film, or it's a movie about homosexuality. It's about all those things, but together is one really cool story about isolation, about growing up with some real angst. Are you teenagers out there listening to fucking The Cure with your hoods on and shit, and y'all depressed about nothing? You know this
dating vampires?
Yeah, you know y'all mad because y'all ain't real vampires and shit. You know listen up there sucking on Tim Burton's dick. Y'all ain't got shit to worry about. You know this is something where, and this, I'm not even talking about this from a black point of view. You know, I'm talking about any story that comes from real angst,
sure.
People having real problems. But with that going on, this movie is never really that heavy. Because all these characters, they show vulnerability to them where they don't have to be too emotional. They don't have to do it with a whole lot of words. In fact, this character of Chiron, it's the actors who play him, they all have this humanity to them that's brought about by their shyness, almost by their weakness of being able to cope with the things around them. And these kids really are the ones that sell the movie. And I'm looking for their names right here because it's three people who played this one character. And I have a complaint about that, but I'll get into that in a little bit. But the characters are, you know, the smallest is Alex Hilbert, the teenager is Ashton Sanders, and Trevante Rose plays the adult Chiron, who was actually a UT graduate. I think he's 26, 27. He was a sprinter at UT, and he's amazing in this film. All of them are amazing, but what the movie also does is that it shows what people would normally see as, you know, and I'm glad that this movie exists because what they show you as these people are, you know, the scary drug dealers, are, you know, these tough black dudes. You know, this movie shows again a humanity to the side of these characters that we normally don't see for these people. What's his name? Mahershala Ali.
Cottonmouth,
Cottonmouth and Luke Cage. He, his character is fascinating because he takes Chiron at a very young age. He can see that he is struggling with his sexuality, but he's a surrogate father to him only up to a certain point. I mean, he knows that he can't take him in like he wants to because he's a drug dealer, sells drugs to his mother. And it puts this distance between them. But he is, you know, he is shown as a human being. You know, he's not. They don't show him out there being ruthless. He's not killing anybody. He's taking this kid in, being very compassionate, protecting him against the neighborhood.
So he's the opposite of Cottonmouth.
He's the straight opposite of Cottonmouth. Mm-hmm. Other people in this movie really do a great job in this film. Again, at showing you different sides of these characters. You know, Chiron's mother, played by Naomi Harris, she's a woman that's, at the beginning of the film, we see her, how she loves her son, but drugs have just ravaged her life. You see it as a sickness. Like this, you don't look at her and say, wow, you know, stop using drugs. Stop being so lazy. Take care of your kid. You see that this woman is trapped in a lifestyle that is hard for her to get out of.
Yeah.
And she wants to be compassionate, but drugs have just taken over her life. I watched this film, and it took me a while to slowly get into it. And then once I was in, I thought it was amazing. And it really was, again, the whole thing of telling this story about sexuality in a culture where it's not only looked down upon, but it's suppressed by a lot of people, and it's not told widely because a lot of people think they can't tell it from that perspective. The ending of this movie is beautiful, man. That's Andre Holland along there with Trevante Rhodes, and they have an exchange at the end of this film and they end the movie just right with them. I don't know. You know, I could talk more, but I'm gonna save it to have a discussion with you guys.
Okay.
When I saw this, I thought, wow, you know, this is the kind of movie where not only do we get a perspective of storytelling that we usually don't get that makes this rise above most of the movies that we see out there,
mm-hmm.
but it's just told so well that you look at it. One of the things I asked, I said, yeah, the culture plays a big part of this, being able to show homosexuality. It's something about looking at two hood Negroes like be homosexual,
mm-hmm.
and not be, you know, what we consider to be like stereotypically gay about it.
Yeah.
Yo, nigga, what's up? Give me a kiss. You know, it's like, yo, we fucking or what? You know, it's something about seeing that told there that makes this movie unique. But I had to pull myself out of it, and I said, what if they had told this from the perspective of anything where homosexuality isn't looked upon fondly, or we don't see the coming of age story with that. What if we told this within, a white trash culture? You know, what if we told this from the point of a Muslim? You know, this is something that can be applied to a lot of things, and I think I would feel equally as strong about those stories as I would at this point. My only complaint with this, and it's a small one, I mean, Martin's going to get on me for nitpicking, but, you know, the actors are great, but they, like the young Chiron and the older Chiron, you could see them being the same person, but that middle kid don't look nothing like them at all. And that kind of removed me a little bit.
Yeah, I was looking at the older one, and I thought, did he have a nose job somewhere in between?
Yeah, he said, thank you. All right, I didn't want it to be just me, but those, it's funny, people, just a little detail like nostrils would throw you off. And it took me out of it because the kid is so good, but I was like, wow, once you see what he turns into, because one of the cool things about the movie is that he's progressively getting sick of this shit. Getting picked on by people, getting sick of having to hide who he is, and by the end of the movie, that Negro is big. And I'm looking, the way he plays, the way the kid plays, the teenager plays it, is just like, yeah, it just does not match. I mean, but that's a small nitpick right there. And there are moments that the movie could be real, just kind of pretentiously artsy. You know, they come in with the classic music, they have the slow motion shots of characters just kind of staring into the camera, and those kind of draw me out the movie too. But for a huge accomplishment like this film with the storytelling and how naturally it feels without having to be too preachy or too wordy, I give this a better than sex, man. I give this a big old hood gay thug sex right here. I think it's an amazing film. And the reason why I don't want to be hype you guys up on it is because it's not a flashy film. You know, it's a quiet, small film. But sometimes those movies, those quiet movies, are the ones that stay the most. I'm just saying.
It sounds like a solid matinee to me.
See, I might have to give you some thug love.
It's just too easy.
It's too easy. You know,
y'all, I'm eager for y'all to see it. Okay. I'm almost sorry that I put it out there. But I love this movie.
But you did.
Man.
Yeah, it's out there.
I almost want. Shit, I might go even see it again. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Busy. But.
Having sex, going like, oh wait, it's not better than this. Never mind.
No, pulling out for that. Let me bring up Sammy, because you guys, you saw a movie that I didn't get a chance to see, but we're gonna get this over with real quick. Desierto.
Oh, there you go, Sam.
Yeah,
I didn't even know we were gonna do this today. So.
You said you wanted some more Mexican movies.
Exactly.
In theaters. Yeah, you got it,
and I got one.
Oh, let's see here. You want to focus? Excuse me. Focus him just a little bit more. Wait a minute. Hold on. There you go. Ah, the sweet spot. There it is, right there. Mi hermano.
Orale.
Hola.
Or a bad hombre, as Trump has called me. So tonight.
See.
Tonight.
It's a new catchphrase. Bad hombres. Got to prevent them from coming in, ruining our country.
Bad hombres. I like that, man. I'm gonna get a T-shirt made for you.
You right?
All the tape already made them. Someone's like, "You need to get on that." I'm like, "I'm here. I can't." Yeah, it's already over.
Oh, I'm so glad you live with me. I'm gonna see you every morning. I'm gonna greet you. Hey, be one bad hombre.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, Sam, my bad hombre. Let me bring up the trailer for this. Let me see if I actually brought it up. Oh, let's see here. We're going to be – now, I did not see this movie, Desierto. They gave us a screener for it. I passed it on over to Sammy to go ahead and watch that. And Martin saw it. I didn't get to go to the screening that he went to that night.
Oh, no. I saw it on the link also.
Oh, that's right. You did. You did. Yeah, you actually hooked me up. Let me see here. let me find it here. Desierto. And while I'm bringing this up, what is this movie about?
Go ahead, Martin.
Well, as become so famous this year, we got people crossing the Mexican border, and you know they're coyotes and they're trying to get across just so they can get to America and make a better life for themselves. But you got some people who don't like that at all; they're angry. And one guy, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who you love as Negan, this guy is just one pissed off redneck asshole. Who hates people crossing the border so much, he goes out there with his trained German Shepherd and a sniper rifle and just starts picking them off.
Ooh, holy okay. shit. Yeah. Stop right there, Martin. Let me go ahead and play the trailer. Ooh, you got me in suspense now. Let's go ahead and take a look. Who else is in the movie?
Gael Bernal Garcia.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
Oh, yeah. One of those.
All right, let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer, and I'm going to let these guys do their quick review.
What are you doing out here, sir? You lost?
Just doing a little hunting.
I have a son in the United States. That's where I'm going.
Find him.
Welcome to the land of the free.
Dizzy Air 2, in theaters October 14th.
I like how this is described as a horror movie. I saw a little blurb right there. Mm-hmm. I like how the other people, they're going to wish this was a documentary. You know, that's how polarized this country is. But, you know, and when you came out and you said, man, that's like a horror movie, I thought you were joking. I didn't know it was actually.
I mean, it's a thriller because there's nothing supernatural about it, but it's a horror movie.
There's a lot of horrifying things going on. And you know what? I was reading some things about this. They say that is the aspect of it that kind of makes this not good. I've actually read some reviews where they kind of expressed that they wish they had taken this in a different direction, not leaning on the thriller or the horror film, because they feel like it takes away from the statement of illegal immigration. But I don't know how if you guys feel that way.
It depends on how you want to look at it. I mean, mm-hmm. if somebody set out to make a statement about it, yeah, it takes it to something sensational that doesn't go there. But if they set out to make a thriller, a horror movie, I think it succeeds because it gives it a foot in reality. It attaches to something that you that feeling like I could see this happening.
Mm-hmm. And I know that's one of the things that I appreciate about horror movies. I say, and this could probably work for me. People ask me why I like Hostel, because a lot of people don't like Hostel. I say I like Hostel because those are human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's human beings are the most horrifying things to me. How come I'm not scared of ghosts? Because ghosts don't exist. Assholes do. Right. You know. Right. So how do you feel about this?
That's the first thing I said. Like he reminds me of like a Jason type character where he's just unrelenting. There's not really much to him. You find out just a little bit about him and why he's doing this, but other than that, he's just a monster. He's a machine. I mean, these are supposed to be like 120 degree weather, and he's hunting Mexicans is what he's doing with that evil ass dog that is probably one of the best acted dogs I've ever seen ever.
German, so.
Yeah, you know. And it's funny because I heard the movie playing in his room. All I heard was barking and screaming.
So much, and I was screaming.
I mean, the thing is, he's a very effective hunter. There's nothing he does. You go like, man, you can't do that. No, he's effective because, yeah, he's a marksman, but also he has that dog, and he lets that dog go out and do most of the work. And that dog, like, man, you know how you see a dog in a movie, and you always love the dog. You don't want nothing to happen to it.
Yeah.
And you know, having a dog dies when sometimes a movie goes down after that point. Fucking hated this snitch ass dog.
Dog was a motherfucker, man. I hated that dog. It added so much to that terrifying element that he had this beast that just do this, do that, go hunt some Mexicans, and then that dog would. He ate a couple Mexicans alive, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jesus. Took him by the throat and everything. Like this is a very. I was surprised it was rated R because it could have passed as a 13, but it's pretty gruesome in some parts.
Was it R?
It's R. Yeah. Because
it seemed like it wouldn't, but yeah, I guess I can't see those moments.
I was thinking the same thing because I heard so much screaming and barking in your room. And then when I actually saw the dog, because you know me, man, that's why John Wick is one of my favorite movies, because the dog dies and they get revenge.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at this and I said, nah, man, fuck that dog right there.
Yeah.
I said, there's something about that dog. I said, that dog got to go.
It's like when people tell me, like, I don't like dogs. I'm scared of dogs. I'm like, man, what are you talking? Dogs are sweet. When I watch this, I go like, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, you're saying that the movie works for the most part,
yeah,
as far as being a thriller, as far as being a horror movie. Does it actually, and I don't know if it's even trying to do this, I mean, does it work as a political message?
I mean, you know, just in the premise of itself, knowing how charged up people are about this whole issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he it's not like you ever agree with him. you just see where he's coming from. I mean, he's gone way off the deep end and he's wrong, but he has total conviction in what he's doing.
Does that make him a complex character?
Somewhat. I mean, yeah. without doing very much, it does make him complex. But he has no remorse at all.
So, like, no matter what happened to him, it's like, okay, that was bad, but this shit you're doing, that's uncalled for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To put it mildly.
Murdering innocent people. Who would have thought?
Yeah, picking them off from a distance, like they're less than human.
Well, we've seen some movies where, even with the most horrifying and gruesome things, we'll see something happen to somebody and we'll say, you know what, that's horrible, but I see what drove them.
No,
to this.
They don't give you that.
Okay.
But there is an interesting element that I picked up on that Martin, I guess, and High too, right, that saw
yeah,
that
I right.
didn't.
Yeah, High went was that, a big fight with me about
that. Was that if you were to look at this movie as someone like
you know how it is.
Man, you just at that point, you just got to say, yeah. You
know? I agree. But so if someone like myself who watches this and goes, oh man, the Mexicans are the good guys, they're just trying to make a living, trying to make a better life for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this crazy asshole's picking them off left and right, headshots left and right. But then, if like honestly, I was trying to look at it from someone who doesn't like Mexican immigration, someone who probably would really support Trump and wants to build that wall. And Jeffrey Dean Morgan kind of could be portrayed slightly as a good guy.
Oh, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Because it is kind of I really understood that, like, that fantasy element of wanting to go to that border and kill Mexicans. Like, a lot of people, like a lot of those fake Border Patrol agents, what are they called? The Minutemen?
Yeah.
They want to do this, and so they see this as a fantasy. And then the response from Gael García Bernal's character of, you know, trying to take his car and do all that stuff is kind of confirming his racism for Mexicans. Along the storyline and making it matter. So,
fucking with him in a way.
Yeah,
I suppose they could use it as a pep rally video up to a certain point. They would just have to end it at a certain point.
Right. Yeah. And no spoilers, but there's a certain moment where I'm going to be generalization, but most people, a certain point that happens where Martin said that it just turns the tide on somebody and you can go left and right. If it were from the racist perspective, it'd be like, Mexicans are evil. They're the devil. They're the worst people of all time, and we need to kill all of them. There's a certain moment, and I can get into it later after the show, but yeah, that's the part where I was like, oh, we can be seen as the bad guys in this one from crazy people.
I never quite caught that, but I won't. I mean, if you saw that in it, that's cool.
It's just something interesting that if you were to look at it from those eyes, you could
very much
see that.
I think that's obvious. If you don't like Mexicans, this is going to be like Jeffrey Dean Morgan is going to be a superhero to you.
But the thing is that you say, like, if they made him like a bad enough dude, like an evil person, they really don't. Because he's really convicted in what he's doing. So as long as he really believes it.
And then he rationalizes everything.
So you're
saying he's complex and you're saying he's not.
Well, no, he is. I'm saying they don't spend a lot of time. Like, they don't show you his backstory.
Okay.
Now, usually when they make you say a character's complex, you'll see the backstory and all that. So much they don't do a lot, but a lot is conveyed just from him, from his – just things he's rambling to himself about.
Yeah, he's emotional, he's angry, he's obviously really violent. Well, so
well, I mean, he comes across another redneck cop, and even that guy's like, man, what a fucking asshole.
Jesus, man, you fucked up. You have other – characters in the movie. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Jeffrey Dean Morgan, but what about
Gael García Bernal? It's hard to say.
Yeah, what about him? Because I like this actor a lot.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good in it. He's acting his ass off, but the other ones, it really don't matter. It's his movie.
It's his movie. Like there's a bunch of Mexicans and a guy with a gun, so you know they all ain't going to make it.
Right. Yeah. it's really sad, actually.
Yeah, and there's like one or two in particular where you're like, yeah, bro.
But you can't even feel that bad for him because, you know, if they ain't no name actor, they probably going to
go. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I saw one of them was from Narcos. One of the guys that was climbing the cliff sides.
Gael García Bernal.
GGB.
But there's even a point where, he's a good guy, but he's even has a point where he's like, has to let somebody go, like
right there. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
I mean, but it does come down to survival, but it's like, I can't save both of us. Yeah. And I got something to live for, so
So bye.
It's very real.
It's very real.
Having family who've done that, made that trip several times, it's scary and it's dangerous like that. So there's certain elements of that part of the story that are very real and that do come across very effectively.
I mean, it's like kind of like Green Room, where you have these people and you watch them, and then a situation turns on them in such a quick way that's very realistic. Where it's like, oh shit, if there was some way you could control Z that part, they'd be all right. But now things are just spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. And with them, they're going to cross, but the truck breaks down. And that's what has them stranded in the first place. Walking through an area where somebody was like, man, I don't like this area. We shouldn't go here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, that is really that's some real horror movie shit.
Yeah.
An area where, like, I got a bad feeling about this. Mm-hmm. So, y'all have kind of turned me on to this. I had no clue. I'll tell you the reason why I didn't watch it, because I mean, no offense, man. I mean, I'm all for the cause and everything.
No, you're not.
But no, yeah,
no, you're not. You know why? Because he didn't watch the Cesar Chavez movie, and he didn't like the one about the runners, McFarlane USA. I keep track of this shit, all right?
Lanasa, man.
Did you call me nigga?
No.
Nigga. That is, you can't just make up terms.
I'm nigga.
Hey, man.
I put amigo and nigga together, man. See the togetherness right here. But no, I ain't gonna lie. I said I'm for the cause, but this looks a little preachy. Everybody's talking about immigration right now. I don't really feel like watching something that's really politicizing the movie.
Yeah. Reading the premise of what it is, I would think that too. But I saw the trailer for it first, and I was like, ooh, this looks good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you even told me too. You said, man, it's pretty good. You should watch it. I'm like, okay. But what would you give it?
I mean, I would give it a really high matinee, in as much as it's a small movie. I mean,
that's what keeps it from going to a full price.
Yeah. And I'm glad it doesn't lean on the political statement, but it could have done more. Yeah. With that, you know, had it chosen to. I mean, it's not heavy on dialogue. But as a thriller / horror movie,
yeah,
I think it's very effective.
Nice. What about you, man?
I was going to start with a real low matinee, but I'm just going to give it a regular matinee. There's just certain elements of it where it's a little long, it's a little dry for a lot of people. But the most important thing is, if you want to see it and if you're interested in the subject matter, go see it.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy it. You're going to get something out of it. As a horror movie, it does work very well, I think. So.
And the shots are really good of putting you in that desert. Like, your throat starts to feel dry most time you watch
it. That was the thing. I didn't get that. Honestly, that was one of my big complaints about it, is that it's supposed to be – I'm from where heat comes from. It's 120 where I live in the summers. And I didn't quite get that, because these guys are running marathons and shit, chasing after each other in the desert. I'm like, these guys ain't passed out yet.
Circumstances.
Man, their adrenaline's going. I ain't going to stop either.
That and another thing that bothered me is that his gun never ran out of ammo. Like, it was one of those six shooters with 20 bullets. He's always boom. Like, he never reloaded. He had
he was going by video game rules.
He was empty. Like, his body was empty. And
it was like a video game where you shoot Mexicans.
Yeah, it's like Mexican Hunter 2016.
from that perspective, it would be.
Yeah, but
is that an actual game, Mexican Hunter 2016?
No, but if you want to watch what it would look like,
hey, there's a lot of crazy shit out there, man. You know, that's a fair question.
But it's a good movie.
Okay. Damn, Jeffrey Dean Morgan don't want no friends, man.
No,
man.
He's
evil. I mean, he's just being a shitty person in every role he's playing right now. But you know, you guys convinced me to watch this. I'm going to do that.
No, you ain't.
Yeah, I know, right?
You already reviewed it. Now you ain't going to go back and watch it. I'm good.
Oh, and just an interesting note: it's the son of Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. That is.
So it's his son, and then him, Alfonso, and his brother, the other guy's young son's uncle. He made it. So.
Yeah, because I actually thought it was Alfonso Cuarón, and I saw it's his son.
His son, Jonas. Yeah,
nice, very nice. Oh, let's see here. Let's see. Ooh, somebody mad at me. I tried. She's Leela mad at me, man.
Leela,
the girl said I need to get some black girls on this show.
They replaced it with a white guy.
Double down.
Hey, but on Tuesdays I got rid of the white girl, so kind of balanced things out right there. But then I brought another white dude.
Even whiter.
I was thinking about putting Gerson in blackface and then put an Afro wig on her just to piss her off.
My name is Patricia.
Yay, what's up, baby?
Yeah, because if y'all don't remember Leela was on my ass. She wrote a long email about how I don't like black women. I don't have a black woman on this show. I don't date black women.
Does Leela live in Austin?
No.
Then how could she even be on this show?
That's right, because she said, I need to be on this show. And I thought you saw this. She's answering like 2 weeks later. She's saying, so I heard you read my email on the show. I can't find which podcast it is. Could you send me the link to it? I have thick skin and I can take a joke, so there would never be any love lost on this, no matter what you said. Hopefully it was funny. Okay, so she didn't come that hard at it. Good.
Because she didn't see it.
We talk shit.
Wait till she sees it.
Nah, you be.
You black mother.
I don't even know where it is, Leela. I mean, it's out there. Go back
to
just look
for the comments under those videos.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see here. Somebody wants to do a review for La La Land, which I really want to hear.
Oh, yeah. That's your movie you geeked for this year.
I've heard good things. Nothing but good things.
It was such a popular movie for the Austin Film Festival. He was telling me that they wouldn't let people in after a while because it was such a coveted
film. Yeah, they wouldn't open the balcony, so they had to turn so many people away.
Yeah, and it was a huge line around the Paramount.
It was a clusterfuck.
Yeah,
a lot of angry people.
It looks like the Paramount.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh.
Oh, let's see here.
All those people who paid for badges.
Yeah.
Got told, nope, you're not getting in.
La La Land is a new movie by. I wish I could remember the director's name, but he did Whiplash, and y'all know Whiplash is also one of my absolute favorite films. That is a movie. Watch that movie over and over again. There was a point where when I had the screener, I wore that disc out, man. I watched that shit. I put it in my Xbox. I didn't even play games for weeks because I just kept it in there and watched that film. This is from, he called himself Jew Ryan. I imagine we called him that at one time.
Oh, yeah. Jerion, yeah.
Oh, Jerion. No, Ryan, Jew, no, like it's in Jew Ryan. And we told him that. Or I told him that we would do. I'm sorry. I was trying to type in Ryan's name, and I typed in Jew.
You have that filter on your Skype, man?
No, apparently not. Let me see here. Ryan, I don't know if I remember what your Skype
his name was
is.
Ryan, and then it ended something with an S, like Seabrook or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But I don't think I have his
Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, Ryan, if you want to send me your number or remind me what your Skype contact is, and I'll be more than happy to call you, man. Oh, okay. Damn. Well, that's why I have you around, man. All right.
The only reason.
Let me see if I can actually put him in here. Hopefully I called you before. Well, you're not there, so I'll try to add you, and if you get with me in time, then we will do a cut that bitch off with you. Until then, though, we're going to go ahead and just take a couple of emails here.
I still need to talk about Brave New Jersey.
Oh, Brave New Jersey. I tried to find a trailer for that, man.
Me too.
I cannot.
Like all I could find was what I sent you, because I was going to send you a trailer, and I couldn't find one anywhere other than that clip.
There's a clip that you sent me?
Yeah, when I emailed you about it.
Okay, well, let me see if I can find that. We'll let you talk about that. He has to talk about that. They said, if you come in and watch this movie, you have to review it, or we will kill your black ass. Let me see here. That's what they said, right, Martin?
That's the official.
That's the official word.
Official word from the studio.
Yeah, let me see here. Martin Thomas. Oh, there it is. There it is. Did you put it in my Dropbox?
Nope.
I don't see it.
I told you I'm having issues with Dropbox. It's not in the email itself as an attachment.
There's a Dropbox attachment in there.
It's their Dropbox. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. All right, I got it. Okay, I have no idea what this movie is about. I have no clue where to find a trailer for it. All we have is a clip that Martin sent me. What was the movie called?
Brave New Jersey.
All right, since we don't have too many clips or anything.
Keep it short.
Yeah, you got to do a short one. Before I play this clip, though, let's set it up. Did you see the clip? And you saw the movie, obviously. So can you set up both of those real quick?
I don't remember what's in the clip. The movie – sorry. The movie is just before World War II. It's based around when – I mean, I don't know how many of you kids even know this – that I'm sorry.
You don't know it either.
No, I do. I do. I'm blanking on his name. Hitler. Famous actor. No, Fish Sticks. Orson Welles.
Oh, no, Fish Sticks.
I said Kanye.
I said Gordon.
Gordon. That's what I was
thinking. Back when Orson Welles did his World of the War broadcast. Did I say that right?
War of the Worlds.
When Orson Welles did his War of the Worlds broadcast.
Damn, you
of his radio
movie?
Show. No, I saw it.
Just making up the plot. Yeah,
but no, it's a famous thing where it played on the air, and they did it like it was really happening, just as the play, and some people turned in late or caught the broadcast and thought it was real. There was a big panic, people like cars driving off the road, to the point where he had to come the next day and make a huge public apology saying, hey, I'm really sorry. We were just doing a radio show.
Yeah.
And all these people look like idiots who did that. And this is the this takes place in a small town where they really bought it.
Okay.
In this little town where nobody, you know, a bunch of hicks.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a look. This movie about where fish sticks told about aliens on the radio. Let's go ahead and take a look. Brave New Jersey. Clip number 2.
Cylinder.
The Earth's atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth, and the metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial.
What?
You can see a cylindrical shape.
Nothing's happening. What's happening? Something wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Eyes are black and they gleam like a serpent. The mouth is a kind of V-shape with saliva dripping from its rimless lips. It seemed to... And hold on, will you please? I'll be right back in a minute.
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm,
Groversville, New Jersey.
Wait a minute. Something's happening. Ah! He's caught it by the woods, the fires, the gas tanks of the automobiles spreading everywhere. Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I don't know what's scarier. What was on the radio or that little boy dressed like Abraham
Lincoln? You know, that was the shit, too.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? By the way, that's a lame-ass clip they gave you, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
but
that's the only one there was.
Didn't they already make a movie about this incident?
They have. This is its own take on it. That's the thing. The way they talk about it, I thought it was going to be about the scope of the whole broadcast, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the people in this town and how it affected them on the one night. And it's kind of too bad because I thought I was going to see something really cool, and the movie's been getting a lot of buzz, but it's festival buzz because it's very much a festival type movie.
If you can't find a trailer for it, that's a festival film.
Yeah. But they seem to be really pushing it like they're going to try to give it a big theatrical release. And it has a bunch of actors you recognize, especially if you watch HBO shows, actors from Veep and True Blood and even Justified. So it's got that going for it. Other than that, it feels like a very small film. And it seems to be kind of caught between trying to be a corny story about this corny little town, but then it's also profanity here and there, and it turns into a big paranoia thing. But there's also what you saw there mainly featured was Tony Hale, who's the mayor, who's in love with Anna Camp and wants her to leave her husband. It's kind of going back and forth between three different types of genre and themes. The best thing about it is that the way it's shot, like if you're an amateur filmmaker, there's a lot you could learn from it just from simple shots they set up and the things they do with the camera. They seem to really know that, and there's a lot you could pick up from it. But other than that, it's kind of hard to recommend.
Okay, what would you give it then?
I'd give it a rental. It's something you'd watch on Netflix.
Yeah. He asked me, are we reviewing that? And I said, nope. But then he came along and said, I saw it.
Oh, I didn't ask you if we were going to, because I thought we had so few movies, it'd be one of the ones we'd.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool, man. Yeah, I figured this was something small. I'm going to get into some emails real quick.
And fan art, maybe?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me about that. I'm going to read a question real quick. Somebody says, whatever happened to Taco Bella Lugosi and Al Frank?
I was wondering about Al Frank the other day.
I was clean. If y'all don't know who Al Frank is, Al Frank is a friend of ours who is weird. He's like one of the, when Martin and I were doing cartooning back in the day, this is the story. Martin and I, we kind of were drawn to each other because we were the only black cartoonists in the group, and then Al Frank was the other one.
Yeah, but there's an asterisk when we say we're the only two.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there was a third. It was Al Frank, but it was kind of weird.
But Al Frank took his, like, Al Frank was also a goth black dude who took the shit to, like, a level where even white goths don't take it. Like, he wears like severed fingers around his neck, fake ones, but
yeah, it was a goth punk thing.
It was a goth punk kind of thing.
Daryl from Walking Dead, wearing ears. And
nah, man, Daryl would have been scared.
yeah, we had Al Frank come on. He told a story about how, like, deep. It got kind of emotional. He told a story about how he had to kill his dog because his father made him do it.
He had to.
He said his father, like, it, like, got inside of his head.
Yeah.
And, like, brainwashed him to go out and kill the dog. And people were talking about how disgusting he is and how bad he was and how they hate this guy. And they're like, when's he coming back? You know, I got to hear more Al Frank. They couldn't get enough of him. And the funny thing is, and this is no lie, I cleaned out my trunk this weekend. and I found those fingers he would wear.
Oh, you found them?
Yeah, he even said he was mad at me too. He called me up. That's the only time I heard from Al Frank. He called me like, "Yeah, man, you still got my fingers?" I was like, "Man, how old are you again?"
Wait, why do you have those?
Because I don't know what happened. I think I took him home and he left them in the car, mm-hmm. and I put him in the trunk.
Well, because, I think he brought them over during the second podcast.
Yeah,
and he forgot them over there.
Yeah,
like, he had them on, and you made fun of him. He's like, he took them off, and then he left.
Me make fun of him? No, man, I wouldn't do that.
Because he came wearing some kind of gear and a mask and stuff. You're like, "Man, why are you wearing it? Take that shit off."
Yeah, he always does weird shit. He was one of those guys, he mellowed out. Like, Al Frank is cool, but he, back in the day, he was one of those guys who had, he was weird because he wanted attention.
Yeah, and he wanted to pick intellectual fights with everybody.
Yeah.
Especially white people. He knew how to push their buttons. And I'd be like, "Man, leave these people alone."
Yeah. I mean, when I was working at that studio, I was working at an animation studio, and he came in looking for a job, and he walked by, "Hey, Carly, get the fuck away. You don't know me, man."
He's a good white folks here, man. All right. Get on out of here.
And it was crazy because it was about three girls that he dated, and every time I came around, I guess they were looking for a sane or relatively sane black dude because they would call me out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like they would be dating Al. Like they would be Al's girlfriends, and then when I would leave, they say, "What's his number?" And then I would leave, and they call me up, "Help me." Save me.
Didn't he have like a mail order bride or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Did you listen to the show?
I've listened to those
ones.
Yeah,
man. It's haunting, that whole story. So, like, after he mellowed out, we were like, "Oh, Al's cool." The story of his sad life. Yeah, online dating with some girl who he said used the angle so she always looked better in her pictures. And we talked it over
nasty.
Like a month or so. He proposed to her.
Right.
And yeah, and he goes to pick her up from the airport, flies her out to come live with him.
Flies her out, that's right.
And he goes to pick her up from the airport, and she's nasty looking. Her teeth are all fucked up.
She's got
really
acne.
Fat. She's got acne. And what he finds out later, she also had a kid that she didn't tell him about. And he picks her up and gets in his car, and he's like, "We're already promised, so I guess I'm just fucked." And Right.
Yeah. She gone-girled him, man.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, just
she
made
was
his
gone.
Life miserable.
Done did him.
She got him to kill a dog, too.
She.
That's right. I got that confused,
Jesus
too.
Jesus Christ. Like some people said, man, this is like one of the best Halloween shows we've ever heard. And it's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he felt obligated to stay with her because of that. And the way I remember he drew a comic strip about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was on drugs and fucking his friends. Or maybe that was his second wife.
He would draw these comics about his life. Like, he would give them to me. And I said, "Man, I can't read this shit. It makes me depressed." He gave me a comic about how he was in Chicago and he didn't have a heater in his car. And this girl that he was really into, that he thought they were going to go on a date, and he went to go pick her up. And she made him drive her to this building where she was going to go upstairs and have sex with this guy. And he waited in the car for her to finish. And he said that he sat in that car and he was freezing to death.
I always went to buy his book, The Negronomicon.
It's huge. Is that like, did you make that up or he
no,
made
that's,
that
that's,
up?
That's the name. That's what he called it.
That is a great name.
Like a tome of all these comic strips he drew. But he didn't know how to monetize it correctly. Because I was like, "Man, I want to buy this. I want to support it." But he set it up with the printer in such a way where if I bought that, he would only got $3 off of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Come on, man."
And he started handing them out for free anyway. I would go over to Casino El Camino, and they would just be there in stacks. Like, nobody was even picking them up, you know.
I wanted to just take that and go somewhere and just read, like, a whole weekend.
Man, you'd hang yourself. Don't do that.
Sometimes I think my life is bad, and then you tell me those stories.
Oh,
I go back. You can go back and listen to them on YouTube, I guess. They're out there.
I hope that he's
they're
doing
out
well
there.
Now.
Me
but
too.
It was almost like he wanted to be in pain so that he could. That would be the influence for his art.
Yeah, he had this sense of, like taking on responsibility or suffering for, I don't know, his sins or something. I don't know. Because all I kept thinking, like, man, if I drove to the airport and she looked like that, I would just walked on by like I didn't know who she was and got back in my car and drove home.
Hell yeah. And wouldn't have given her money for a ticket back.
Mm-mm.
You and your son, you and your ogre-looking ass, you and your son just would have been homeless in Austin.
Yeah. And the son moves in with him. He's a teenager, and he's acting out the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
And the two of them were teaming up against him.
Yeah, man. It's fascinating. I would love to make a movie about his life, man. It sounds like we're being mean and talking about him.
No.
He loves to tell those stories.
Yeah.
He loves to put them out there. We got to get him back on the show. Now that we're talking.
I've been afraid. Because the first session, I love.
You're going to call him right now.
And that second session was so depressing. And his story about killing the dog the second time made me mad.
Yeah. No, that one is a hard listen, dude. Have you heard it?
I heard that one, but yeah. I didn't hear all these other ones.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The male bride one I remember. And then the dog one. Like, I'm not a big, like, oh, if dogs die, I get all heartbroken and stuff. Like, in the movies and stuff. But I remember in the community as a whole, it was just.
Yeah, awful. We hated that dude. For like a couple of weeks. Yeah. Like, they said, I'm leaving this.
Too sad. It was just too sad.
It was.
Calling Al Franken right now.
And not Al Franken, the politician.
No.
Please leave your message for...
Denied it.
C.N. Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
Yeah, he usually goes by the name Casanova Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see if I can get him back, man. I'll see if I can get him back. As for Taco Bell Lugosi, who was my roommate, John... Who used to eat Taco Bell and
do IT for a porn site?
He did IT for a porn site. He
the
worked
worst job.
He, not for a porn store.
Oh, that's right.
Which we still have Dreamers. Like he went to what do you call those job placement places?
Temp agency,
and they put him at a porn place, and he did all he like. He went in like if you go get your porn over at Dreamers. Before he came in, they had the Dewey Decimal System of porn, where everything was on a card. He went in and set up their digital archiving system. So you get your porn more efficiently now because of
your physical media porn.
Yeah, so he was a fascinating dude and one of the most generous guys I've ever known. I never have a bad thing to say about him. If I made fun of him for eating Taco Bell, because I was worried about his life, because he ate Taco Bell and McDonald's every night, and he would just sleep in the wrappers.
And wasn't he the Dawn of the Dead DVD?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, did I tell you about this? He would fall asleep with his DVDs on. It was cool because his room was almost like a mini video store, a hipster video store, because he would buy shit. He would just buy all these crazy weird videos and DVDs. He would buy the new ones that would come out. And he had a habit. He would just buy them. He wouldn't watch them sometimes. He would just buy them. So he had these collections of all these 50s monster movies and everything, but whenever he got like a new one that he liked, he'd open it up and watch it and fall asleep with it on. And when you fall asleep with a DVD on, it would go back to the menu screen. And one night I was trying to sleep.
I think it did.
You remember when I heard that? Yeah. If y'all put in the DVD for the remake of Dawn of the Dead. And the one that's directed by
Zack Snyder.
Yeah. And when it's on that DVD's menu screen, it hits a crescendo. It's like, dun, dun, dun. And it does that in a loop. So I was asleep, and all I heard was, dun, 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 dun. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And I woke up, and I did, and at first I was mad. I was about to say, shut the fuck up, John. And then I just stopped, and I said, let me see how long this motherfucker just lets this go. I sat there for 30 minutes while this shit did that. I was like, he's really not going to change this. And I had to, and I knocked on the door, and he didn't answer. And when I walked in, he was laid out, covered,
with his pants around his ankles.
Taco Bell wrapper. He was masturbating to a Taco Bell wrapper, a burrito, actually. He was having sex with Taco Bell food.
Don't judge me.
Man, I went in there, and it was, the music went with the horror that I saw. Like, I walked in, I was like, I'm like, what the fuck? It was Taco Bell bags, McDonald's bags. It was half-eaten food in some of those packages. And he also had been eating ravioli. And he was eating ravioli like a hobo. He was eating it cold from
straight
the can.
From can.
Oh, he was eating it cold right. From the can.
Yeah. He didn't have a little trash can fire.
No, man.
Cold ravioli.
Living for the city.
He had Franklin's gloves on and shit. And I looked at him and said, what the fuck? And I was like, John. And he wouldn't move. And I said, oh my God, he's dead. And I actually went over there and looked at him real close. And I saw him breathing. I saw his bags moving a little bit. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But I just went over there and cut his DVD off and cut the light off.
Hey, I was watching that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
I turned around like, hey, I was watching that.
The soundtrack comes on.
I went over there. I took a Taco Bell bag, kind of tucked him in a little bit. And I walked out the room. And I told him the next day, I said, man, I walked into your room. I'm sorry, but... I said,
what the fuck is going on with all of those the ravioli? I said, man, you don't heat that shit up. And he's like, oh yeah, I guess I should.
Don't tell people how I live.
See, that's why he jumped on your ass about the Whataburger ration. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not as bad as that guy, though.
You about to turn into the fucking dude, man.
Yeah, exactly. He's having flashbacks. You're triggering his memories. He sees you becoming that.
I'm going to go buy that DVD tonight, son.
I will fucking kill you, man. Because I almost took the DVD player off the book.
He'll smash it.
Yeah, that shit went on all night, man. I'm like, yeah, and he would not hear this shit. But what has me worried about him is that, look, I love this dude. This dude, anything you ask him for, he would do it. You would just mention things. I always get a new car, and I said, yeah, man, I got to get a new car. I got to figure out how to drive 5 hours away from here. I guess I'm going to go to Waco, catch a bus there. My mom said she'd take me. Like, huh, I'll take you. You know, he was that kind of guy. No, he had nothing else going on. Didn't have a girlfriend. You know, he was just kind of like, yeah, I'll do it, man. And I even told, and he was even like, he would take shit off your hands sometimes too. I probably shouldn't tell this story, but
but you're good.
But I remember I had these I was telling him this story. This is gonna sound so disgusting, but I had these I was hanging out with these two girls, man, and I let them come to the house because we were just all hanging out, and both of them were pretty large, and I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that I could go through with this because we all got naked in the room. And I was like, okay, you know, sure. I'll threesome at my hand. I'll go through with this. And I just, for some reason, I couldn't do it. And I was telling him the story. I said, ma'am, yeah, I can't. I said, yeah, I couldn't do it. No offense, man. I just couldn't do it. And he's like, you know, I'll take one of them. He's like, I don't care.
Did you tell him, like, while it was going on?
I told him after it was late because he was like, yeah, who those girls are? And I was like,
Can we back this up?
What's up?
So how far did you get before you told them you couldn't do it?
Man, I told you, I was fully naked, man.
Like, we were just looking in front of him and was like, nah, I'm good. What happened? Yeah, you went from like 9 p.m. to like 10 a.m. the next day.
I'm trying not to be mean here because one of them
be
was...
Be mean. It's not, okay.
Because these girls know who they are because this happened probably a couple times. But the one we said was like, one of them was kind of like obese and... I thought, like, all right, you know me, man. You know, I say, hey, all girls need love, you know. So I just thought that one of them I think I could have done it with, but that other one I just like, yeah, I can't do it. I just couldn't.
All right, but you're in bed. All three of you are naked. So what do you say?
Oh, at that point?
Yeah.
I don't have.
No, we had been drinking too, and I just act like I was too drunk to get it up. That's it. You know, we were all. I mean, that's what got me there in the first place. Like, we've been drinking. So, I mean, I didn't even bring the house to do this. We were just hanging. I just knew these girls, man. We were just hanging out.
And you're okay with them going out into the world going, like, yeah, that Corey talks a big game, but he's a no dick motherfucker.
Whiskey dick
bitch.
In this case, yes.
He's like, who they gonna tell? Yeah,
they all got fat friends anyway. Fuck them.
I didn't give a fuck, man. I didn't care. Tell
them. Shit, I like how you didn't figure this out until you got to the bedroom. Was like, nah, I'm good. Y'all a little chunky.
Look at the chat. They like this Corey right now. He took his claw like, nah, that's all right. Yeah, somebody said you had a threesome. But no, I didn't. I did not. It was almost about to go off, but I didn't do it.
I mean, like the Ghostbusters monster.
I mean, usually when somebody tells me these stories, they did it. They're just trying to pretend like they backed out at the last minute.
I would tell you something happened, but I ain't going to tell you what
happened. They fellated him, yeah.
I bet he got hit. Yeah. It was big chicks, and they know what they're doing when it comes to that situation. I know you got it.
I know it.
I know it. Yeah. Hey, big people like to eat. That's all I'm saying.
I knew that shit, man.
Big people like to eat, man.
That whole story you about I pretended like I couldn't get it up. Please.
Oh, shit. So hard you move the camera, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Come on, man. Why must you turn this studio into a house of lies?
Right? You sit on the throne of lies, God damn it.
Yeah, you got me. Hey, you know.
You you know if one of us had tried to tell a story like that, you'd have been calling bullshit left and right.
It was so obvious, too.
Your don't you judge me, Matt.
Matt's over there dying.
Don't you fucking judge me, man.
He had to come down under to hear this shit.
Is this Al Frank, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Damn. Yeah. Skull, how did you find that?
Skull
you weirdo?
Is amazing, man.
He is amazing.
Yeah. Skull will find shit in a minute. I want to get Skull to track down somebody for me.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's the exact thought I had.
Yeah, Skull, I should list your services, man. I have a stalker, y'all.
Yeah, we've made it. We got a stalker now.
Yeah, I have a full-fledged stalker. I have somebody who has found out information about me, my mother, my sister, my brother, my nephews.
When did this happen?
And Martin and some of his family.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, involving me in it.
Yeah, Martin even called me. Martin was mad. He's like, hey, man, I need to talk to you about something important. I was like, what the fuck I do? Like, why are they sending me this shit, man? It's like, I don't know, but they're doing it to me, too.
Pictures of your front yard or some shit?
Man, it's personal information that they're digging up on me and everybody that knows me.
Yeah, like emailing out to people going like, do you know about this? Like,
yeah, and I don't know what to do about it. I mean, it's almost to the point where I'm joking, but it's kind of scary right now. And I think I have an idea who it is. Like, I don't know the person, but people have seen this person. We had somebody at our anniversary party.
This year.
That showed up.
That did some shady shit. There's a police report on that, so.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. I called the next day, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, your foot was broken. We don't know where you anymore, man.
Yeah, so.
See, that's one thing I would thought. Oh, with the new studio, I'll have a back door for whenever somebody comes in here.
Yeah, you wouldn't make it. You'd be dead with your hand just hanging on that door now.
I want to know who it is.
I don't know who it is. Freaks me out because I live with the motherfucker.
Yeah, I have no idea who it is.
Whoever it is, they're getting sloppy.
Yeah. Always get
caught. Is that the Dr. Coleman postcard or it's a different person?
No. Oh, no, it's a different person. Okay. It's a different person, yeah. So anyway, y'all. Oh, well, hey, you know, on that note,
two Hail Marys.
So if we're here next week.
So let me see here. Before we go, I'm going to pay some time to thank our sponsors and always. Oh, no.
Fan
art. Before we go, people stick around for the fan art. Let me go ahead and bring that up. And we do have some good fan art in time for Halloween.
Man, Gary Eakin's going off again, man. Those clown craziness, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's making you crazy looking, man.
He's made me crazy looking. So let me see here. Ah, here we go. Fan art, everyone. And we've had a lot of people submit some fan art. And
By the way, I wasn't mad. I was concerned.
I know you were. I mean, exaggerating like I always do. Let's look at the fan art that we have here. As I said, some of it is just weird, like this one, where I'm just playing with the sex dolls. I don't know. What. You know? That was
my hand so big.
It's like the puppets.
That was me and my threesome with those girls right there.
It looks like you're about to sing the pizza song.
Yeah, it does. Sex pizza. Let's see here. But we got some clever Halloween-themed pieces of fan art. Like, I love this one from Kevin King, man. This one that's based on Hocus Pocus. Love that. Man, he puts that in seamlessly. Him and your brother, man.
I know.
Him and your brother make some of the greatest fan art on here.
I'm just happy I was such a Jessica Parker in that one. I'm pleased with that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm a little upset because I want to be Jessica Parker.
Yeah. You're betting that I need to sing that fantastic song that we get to argue about on Sam AC shit. Go check out last
Gary Eakin is doing what Gary Eakin does.
There's some skull shit. Some
being weird.
Some weird eyes. Shit. Like there, yeah, you know, up in the skull
you
face.
Can even go next, too, I think.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, like this.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Damn. Hey, but you got to admit, it's good.
It is good.
And it's Halloween themed, so very nice. Very nice. Like I said, this one I love, man. Your brother did this one.
Twilight Zone?
No, Hook.
Oh, yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah. At least I get to be Peter Pan, so.
No, that's Tinkerbell you are, isn't it?
No, I'm Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah, she's
Danielle's Tinkerbell.
And, this one's pretty nice. The movie review extravaganza. I should use this poster, man. I'm telling you, we got to get some of these things printed out and put around the studio here. Because these are so nice. I love these. And this one is just weird.
Man, this shit just made me laugh.
You know, you got some that are just so creepy, but you can't do anything but laugh at them, like you and Gertz right here. President Goodwin, where Gertz is your secretary.
My first lady.
Everyone loved Gertz. Uh-oh, one more. Another Kevin King one right here. Martin, I love it when he makes you hug me in pictures like this. Like one of the one with aliens. Well, I'm Sigourney Weaver in your newt, as it should be. And everyone loved Gertz on Tuesday. I don't think one negative thing was said about Gertz, and Gertz said that he will be there regularly. So we will be having Gertz coming in every Tuesday, at least according to him right now. And yeah, told me that the chat was loving him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he even sat down with me. He's like, hey, man, Gertz worked, man.
I was just calling as it is, one. And two, I had never seen Corey that happy to have someone that he had such a man crush on. Because everything Gertz said, he would laugh like seven times. Go back and watch the tape, folks. It's crazy.
I was trying to make him feel comfortable.
Corey's enjoying himself way too much, man.
I was trying to make him feel wanted. Trying to make him feel at home. That's all I was doing. Welcome to the book. No, but I've always said he's funny, man. Mm-hmm. I've always said he's funny. I like him.
No, at first you said he was weird.
No, he was. He was strange. He was doing that stalker shit.
Had to iron that out.
Yeah.
Did you take him in the back and slap him around?
Hey, if the high score is the proving ground, then you step up to
stop
the
being weird, nigga.
Yeah, you raised him well, man. You did him well. All right. We're going to get out of here now. But before we go, as I said, and thanks for all the fan art, people. Send more fan art in right on the site. We have a whole section, a whole group for it. And we have a lot of more things coming up that you can do themes for, such as Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. So keep the fan art coming. I want to actually get a collection of these one day, make a book out of it, a picture book that people can come in and just see when they come to the lovely Double Toasted Studios. Almost done pulling up the ads right here.
Make that with the Infinite Mega's story in it.
Oh, man. I still want to shoot that interview that he created with me and an interview about Horry Coleman. It's like two pages of dialogue. It's just insane.
It is, man.
But it's hilarious. Like, I was reading through it. Like, I was kind of practicing. Like, oh, can I actually say some of these lines?
It's at a point now where if he doesn't write something, people are like, man, what? The next chapter, man, where is it?
Yeah.
Horry Coleman and Brother Negro, where is it? The Adventure. All right, folks, about to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for watching, and I especially want to thank the people, a couple of the people who helped bring these shows to you. First of all, I want to thank Gamefly. You like Gamefly. Is Gamefly still doing you
is
good?
It still fly?
Oh, yeah, they're great, man.
Is it still gaming, still flying?
All and above, man.
All that and more. And a lot of you already have Gamefly, and you say it's a great service, but some of you still don't understand. Try this service out. Gamefly offers you over 8,000 new releases and classics that are available for the new consoles and some classic consoles out there. And they're not only games. Don't let the name fool you. They also bring you the latest in movie entertainment. And you can get this 30 days for free if you go to gameflyoffer.com/doubletoasted. That's all you got to do. Just let them know that we sent you. And they'll give you 30 days of entertainment. Think how much you're saving time, you're saving gas money, because they put it all right there in your mailbox. Gamefly. Bring the classic games, new games, classic entertainment and movies to your home without you doing a damn thing. And while you're out there at that mailbox, oh, we're not done with it yet. No. It's great to have a mailbox. If you don't have a mailbox, get one. Because I think it's a lot of fun today. Because while you're getting those games in there, you can also get the gift of mystery. I don't want that, Corey, but hear me out. You get a mystery crate from Loot Crate, and they bring you the best in gaming and geek gear all in a mystery box. You don't know where it is, but whatever it is, it's fun. Trust me. And if you type in trylootcrate.com, that's a word, trylootcrate.com/doubletoasted, you will get 10% off your first mystery crate if you type in bridge 10. That is the word bridge number 10. And a lot of people are saying that, you know what, I don't even have to go to Comic-Con this year. It's like having Comic-Con brought straight to me in my mailbox. Try Loot Crate today and give yourself the gift of mystery every month. With that said, we are out of here, people. Go on over to DT Merch, get yourself some shirts. I'm not going to bring it up, but you know where to go. Get yourself some shirts, backpacks, covers, phone covers. There's a backpack right there. We saved one for you right here. Scratch on that. Scratch on it. Scratch it. Scratch it hard. Scratch it. Let me see.
Just disintegrate.
But no. Look at that.
Sturdy.
Still, that logo ain't going nowhere. This is quality material that we have for you. It just blows up by and
aqua change.
Blah blah. That's what it's gonna sound like. Blah blah. And we you know, we've just looked at some fan art on doubletoasted.com. The stream has been going so well today. Looks like we're gonna get some fiber pretty soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got the
email
today.
Everyone needs more fiber in their diet.
Everybody, so the...
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it. I'm so glad you did.
Where's the prune juice? Where'd it go?
I'm like, man, I want to say it, but I don't think I should. I'm like, uh-oh, here you go.
Yes. That bandwidth just slid straight through your ass. Right there. But go on over to doubletoasted.com. Join us for a live stream. You see, we've had so much fun today. And when you watch a live stream, you can participate in the show. You can go to the vault, the Double Toasted Vault, get yourself hours upon hours upon hours of entertainment, and you can talk to the chat. And you can try that 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time. Go on over to SoundCloud, though, and I promise you we'll be somewhere else one day, giving you a lot of choice in your audio that you get for free. Because on SoundCloud, all you got to do is listen to help us out. You get us paid that way. But it's not just one-sided right here. Put your stuff on SoundCloud. You get a lot of listeners, and you can get those
fat checks.
You like my little dance right there?
Just get the fat checks already. Damn.
Jesus. So you ain't doing anything anyway.
Sitting your ass at home. Shit. Fat hombres.
And check out the Midnight Chat Attack every Saturday from 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. That's on Saturdays, if I didn't say that already. Saturdays. And I think that's it. Went through that so fast. I want to thank everybody who came in. Kiki, Nico, we're going to miss you guys. When are y'all leaving? Tomorrow. I got to say, man, y'all got to talk to my girl. I ain't going to put y'all out there. I ain't going to say nothing. They're getting scared right now. Like, oh, shit, man. What are you about to say? Fuck. But I'm going to just tell you something. They are one of the most progressive and just one of the most fun couples I've ever met. You guys.
What kind of evil ass laugh was that, man?
you are the most fucking badass couple I've ever seen. You need to go out there and teach the world how to be more like you. They fuck a lot.
Man, you popped her off.
More like she popped him off a couple.
You can tell that they have sex all the time. The whole time she's been sitting up there, she's just been rubbing on Nico's head.
Like, actually, I did notice that too.
Did you notice that?
Damn.
Like his head.
We're waiting for the show to be over, single fuck.
I know.
In the bathroom.
Like somewhere. The top of his forehead was just going to ejaculate after a while.
She might be trying to build up a static charge.
I was like, aren't you not supposed to touch black people's hair? Like, what is that? No. Isn't that a rule?
That was a point where she was doing it. Gives you good like luck. Oh, I'm sorry. What's up, Mojo? Hey, if y'all ever need somebody to join in, just let me know.
He's trying to pick up the Mojo. Mojo like, bitch, get off me.
And his slid like
that's claw marks on the floor. No, you're a bad hombre. No.
These are the good hombres right here.
Yeah, he's Mexican.
So, all right, Mojo. Thank you for coming in too and being so good, man. Thank you for behaving yourself. You're a good dog. And
those Chihuahua dogs.
Chihuahua.
And that is it, y'all. We are out of here. Thank you for watching the show. We really appreciated that. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Halloween party. Go to Eventbrite. Get your tickets over there. Just type in Double Toasted Spooktacular and type in Eventbrite.
Oh, I got $5. Even easier.
What's up?
PartyDT.com. We'll take you right there.
Oh, now you tell me.
Come on, man.
PartyDT.com.
Just keep that in your thumbnail. Every time we have an event, it'll be PartyDT.com.
Ooh, very convenient. PartyDT.com. Going over there. And one more thing. A lot of people have been asking me about animated reviews. We are doing that again.
Okay.
Yeah, but like we do so many reviews right now. Like we could put some like real 3-minute reviews up on YouTube.
Oh,
for
right
the ones
on.
That we don't always put up. I'm actually working on that right now. Looking kind of good, so I'm excited about that. Real excited. And a lot of people wanted that again, and we're going to do them again. So a lot of things coming for you guys. Thanks to you and your support. And with that said, we're getting on out of here. What was that, Mark?
Stretching.
Oh, okay, I thought Martin went like this. I thought he was molesting a ghost right there. We are out, y'all. And the last thing I gotta tell you is to email
K. K.
Make that DVD playing over and over again.
coolmans@gmail.com. That's coolmans@gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you want to be part of the show, it's over now. You can't. But we will be back with more shows. We have a two-part movie review extravaganza coming up. Friday, very Halloween themed.
Yes.
With Pooh Madea and Ouija. And you can be a part of our future shows by pulling out an email, putting your phone number in there, putting the Skype contact in there, pressing send, bam. We are the only critics in the world who do house calls, because we're the only critics in the world who come to the house to criticize you. On Twitter, at KCoolMans. We're on Facebook, type in Double Toasted. If you want some private critique time with me, type in Corey Coleman. I'll be right up there. But if I'm too busy, Thomas, can you help me out?
Yes, I can. Because you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoBro. Or just go to Facebook, look for Martin Thomas, and check out, you can join our group, The Children of the Toast, and you can look for Mr. Corey Goodwin
on Facebook, Corey Goodwin, and you can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv, the high score DT, all one word, Mr. Gonzalez.
Find this bad hombre, Sam Gonzalez DT, on Facebook, MXLNT Sam on Instagram, and The Mexcellence on Snapchat. Corey.
And they brought my dog into their relationship. Look at this.
That
dog was licking his ear, and he was grinding on her lap.
That dog's going to get fucked.
Y'all stop molesting my dog. Yeah, I was wondering what you were up to, because yesterday she came up to me and she's like, can you please bring Mojo tomorrow? He's so cute. I just want to fuck the shit out of him. So anyway, thank you guys for coming in. And you guys, you guys have been so good. I keep forgetting you guys are back there.
Dimples in the man.
But they're Dimples in the man. So adorable. You know, you can come to our Halloween party, 18 and up.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. And people, you've seen the studio. You saw the people in here. You see how freaky it gets in here. If you want to come in and watch the show and join in on it, email me at kcoolmans@gmail.com. Let me know if you're going to be visiting Austin, if you're going to be moving to Austin. You already live here. You didn't tell me. Why would you do that? Let me know that you're here by emailing me at kcoolmans@gmail.com and let me know if you want to come see a show. You give me some details. Hey, look, I'm going to give you some details. We're going to coordinate with each other, and I'm going to accommodate you. But right now, got to say goodbye. But I'll also be saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to or watching this, goodbye and stay toasty.
Yow.